about. You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm about to seduce them with some sweet ass tunage.
Whoa, wait. Your music or my music?
What do you mean, my music?
Jamiroquai? Mighty Mighty Boss Tones?
Those are good bands.
Train?
That's ironic.
Is it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
What number Chick-fil-A grand opening this is for you?
This is number 68.
Would you be willing, if it came down to it, to give me your wristband?
This is America, isn't it? Then I don't have to answer stupid questions while standing on my own property.
In the state of Texas, if you come into our state, you will be executed.
And now,
get your dancing shoes on and welcome to the rock and roll dance party!
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show for a Monday morning.
It's a brand new week. There's a promise that maybe this week will be the week that the show is good. I know it's unlikely.
Who made that idea?
Well,
we
I'm just
decided
saying
we were going to make a promise.
Bean did just now. No, he said it's a
promise.
A promise of.
The promise of. I'm not
okay.
promising it.
I
would bet against it, but
okay.
I'm saying the potential is there. Even though we have made that attempt, you know, the last 1,100 weeks in a row and have yet to succeed, this could be the week. You don't know, man.
Sure.
It could be the week, yeah.
This is like every single day you go out and you try to pole vault 7 feet. You've never made it, but every day you go out there and try it. You never know if this is the day you're finally going to get over the pole vault, right?
Wait, have you tried it for 1,100 weeks and you haven't
done
it yet?
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. But
you're not going to make it.
one day, though, maybe you will.
That's where you're wrong.
what makes humans amazing, though, is that they still go out the next day and try again.
I'm betting with the 1,100.
Well, I think you're right about that. So it's probably not going to be good. But I do have a great way to get us started. This is the first study that I have ever read about on broken penis syndrome.
Oh. How are you going to start like that?
A penile fracture, a broken penis. Of course, it's not a real bone. That's just an expression, kids. But apparently there is a way to tear membranes inside your penis if you're using it incorrectly. And they think it's one of the most underreported medical injuries in the world, by the way, because it's so embarrassing, because people don't want to go to the doctor and say, ooh, I broke my penis.
Right.
But the University of Maryland, my alma mater, decided to do a study to find out what the men were doing when they broke their penises.
You mean what the activity was?
How they did it.
Yes. How they did it. Specifically what the men were doing, right?
Okay.
Beyond just having sex.
Right.
Okay.
And the conclusion that they have come to, now granted, it is a fairly small study, but the conclusion that they have come to is that the vast majority of men who have broken penis syndrome are doing it in extramarital affairs.
What?
But isn't that also having sex?
Yeah, but
yes, they're having sex, but not with their wives when they break their penis. And the reason being, they have concluded, is because you more commonly have sex in unusual settings with your mistress or girlfriend.
Oh, I see.
Like in the restroom at work is mentioned in several cases. In elevators, in cars, only 3 of the patients were having sex with their own wives in their own bedrooms. Of all the men that came in with a fractured penis syndrome over the course of 6 years that they did this study.
That's bad surprise right there.
And that's a tough one to explain to your wife, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I don't
think
I know what happened. That conversation.
What do they do? They put it in a cast?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a great question. I understand how you would go to the emergency room because it hurts like hell. But what could they possibly do if it's just a torn muscle? I mean, it's not like there's any way to stitch it up or put it in a sling. It's internal. I don't know. But they say some people are suggesting that it's karma for cheating husbands.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
Well,
I mean, there's a god of karma someplace going break.
No, but I think there are a lot of women in particular who would say he deserves it. I hope that his penis is fractured if that's what he's doing. You know what I mean?
Right. But that's a little less medical than we were looking for.
Exactly. Yeah.
So apparently acrobatic sex is what causes fractured penises. So now we know.
That's not the way to start a week.
I just want to know who the guy is who said, I've got it. I know what study we're going to do for the next 7 years. Is we're going to figure out how these guys are breaking their junk.
That is pretty weird.
So there you go. So be careful, kids. That's what we're saying. Be careful.
We're saying, if I'm not mistaken, cheat, but be very careful when
be
you
very
do.
Careful, yeah.
If you're in a stairwell, take it easy.
That's right.
If you take anything away from today's show, that's it.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about today's show, shall we?
Why waste time? Say lot word when few word do trick.
Kevin, I appreciate what you're trying to do.
That whole episode was Kevin heavy, and Kevin is not smart.
Well, they do possibly listen to the show.
Every Monday, we talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
Catch up on what's going on with celebrities over the weekend. We have Andrew Siciliano in, who, of course, is the host of The Red Zone on DirecTV, and he's going to help us recap football.
How about Cousin Sal, by the way?
How'd he do?
All I know is that he's the guy who said, he's the guy in America who said, the undefeated Bills, no, go with the Bengals. Remember?
Yeah.
He went out on a limb and he said, that's going to happen, and it did. Very impressed with that pick.
John Huertas, who's one of the stars of Castle on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
We have Morgan Spurlock, who is, he's making a documentary.
What? Every week he's making a new documentary about something.
This one is about sports agents, and it's for ESPN.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
So it looks fascinating, a little behind-the-scenes stuff. We are going to tell you about the Kardashian family and what they're doing this week and why that can't be good for America.
Okay.
We are going to tell you about a member of the Kevin Bean staff who should not ever in a million years be a father.
Well, I hope it's me.
And is. Still hope it's you. And Odette Annabelle.
Oh.
Am I saying that right? Annabelle?
I think it's Annabelle is what I heard them saying, but I don't know.
What?
I've never heard it spoken by anyone other than people in our office. I just call her Odette Usman because that's how I know her.
But she's beyond Brothers and Sisters.
But that makes people mad, Bean.
Who? It makes who mad?
People yell.
What kind of people? Who?
I don't know. Publicists yell at Alex. Alex yells at me. Ralph yells at me. It's Odette. That's her name. She's super hot. She used to be Odette Usman, but now she's married. So everyone take it easy.
I don't recognize her marriage. She's still Odette Usman to me.
And she's on House, so we'll talk to her.
Look, you're supposed to have a showbiz name. You can have whatever you want in your real name on your passport. Have a showbiz name.
Right.
Otherwise,
she picked
you had
the other one. She picked Annabel.
Yeah.
Right. Unacceptable. Not allowed.
Not allowed. Okay, good. We'll let her know that as well. When we talk to her later on this morning, we'll take a break and we will come back with the showbiz beatnik.
Monday on the Kevin Bean Show, what's your feeling, Ralph? Is this going to be the week where we break it right open and get good?
This week?
Yeah.
No, not this week.
He was trying to convince me a few minutes ago. This is going to be the one.
I was saying it's possible. I'm not even trying to convince you. I'm just saying it's nice at the beginning of the week. It's like a blank sheet of paper. You know that the possibility is that you're about to write the great American novel.
Right, but then you get to the end of the week and you realize it's still just a blank sheet.
Yeah, but let's say you write 30 crappy novels. Mm-hmm. You think the 31st, that now you're suddenly going to become a good writer and then you're going to write the good novel?
Bean thinks so.
Don't squash people's dreams.
I'm trying to figure out your logic.
My logic is that the potential is there that this week could be awesome. That's all I'm saying.
That is the potential.
Right now, as of now, we're 2 minutes into the football game. We're not going to lose. We can't lose.
What's he talking about?
I'm just confused. Right. Too many analogies there. All I know is we're writing novels, we're playing football. The only thing we're not doing is radio. That's the only thing we're not doing.
Well, I think you just doomed this week with that conversation.
I agree.
I hope you're wrong. All right, let's see what Ralph Garman's got to offer here on the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, before I get to Showbiz news, I do have, once again, passes to a very special event. This is even more so than usual, because this isn't just your average run-of-the-mill advanced screening of a movie. This is the red carpet world premiere.
Dude.
Of a movie called The Thing.
Yeah!
That looks awesome.
It does look awesome. This is a movie that, first one was made in the 50s, I guess, then they remade it. John Carpenter famously remade The Thing. And now they're doing it again, sort of a reboot of the franchise. And the thing about sci-fi is, often technology can catch up to a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this may be the case. I think The Thing, this version of The Thing will be the best one yet. The Thing is in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 14th. However, if you're one of the first two callers to get through right now at 1-800-520-1067, you will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of The Thing, which is very exciting. It happens on October 10th, Monday, October 10th. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers. Great cast, by the way. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Joel Edgerton, Ulrich Thompson. Because think about The Thing is, if you remember the film at all, it plays on many different sort of fears and phobias and creepy things because this group of scientists is stationed in the Antarctic. They're completely cut off and isolated
Strike
from
one.
Humanity.
Right.
And then they come across the thing that turns out to be...
A good thing?
Not so much a good thing. Of all the things, this one would probably be a bad one.
All right.
Yeah. So then it starts to take them out one by one. It's just a great premise for a film. Looking forward to it. While we're talking about movies, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. What a surprise! Dolphin Tale.
Oh, really?
Edged out Moneyball at the number one slot at the box office this weekend. Made $14.2 million. Dolphin Tale came in number one.
That's not a very big number one, is it?
I'm going to make that dolphin a tail. And buy it with Visa.
Moneyball came in at number two in its debut, $12.5 million. Lion King 3D still in the top three, $11 million. 50-50 was fourth in its debut. Courageous came in at number five. Courageous?
Courageous, what's that?
I have no idea.
Didn't you know what that is?
Must be a typo.
Wow.
No idea.
Dreamhouse was sixth. Abduction, What's Your Number, Contagion, and Killer Elite rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. We got great news this weekend regarding Arrested Development.
Yes!
Creator Mitch Hurwitz was at the New Yorker Festival on Sunday and announced that he has been working on not only the long-rumored and much-anticipated feature film, Arrested Development, but an additional final TV season of Arrested Development.
Awesome.
So we'll get a season's worth of Arrested Development, and that will lead into the film in theaters. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. It's one of those shows that you watch it and you go, how is this not the most popular show in America? And it wasn't even close.
It never found its audience. It was on television. Became much more of a hit after it went off the air, believe it or not. The cult classic nature of that show has carried on to this day. And now everyone's looking forward to it coming back.
Can't wait.
Mitch told the New York Times, I've been working on the screenplay for a long time and found that as time went by, there was so much more to the story. In fact, where everyone's been for 5 years became a big part of the story. So in working on the screenplay, I found even if I just gave 5 minutes per character that backstory, we were halfway through the movie before the characters got together. So he thinks a season's worth of episodes is going to be necessary to catch everybody up.
Smart plan.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Courageous, directed by Anna Kendrick, of all people, by the way.
What?
Is another one of those God movies, one of those Bible movies that they advertise through the churches.
Oh, there you go. That's why we didn't.
So that's why we haven't heard about it, because the advertising is not done on radio and TV like we usually see. It's done in churches.
They put it in communion wafers. They write it on communion wafers. That's how they advertise it.
I don't think.
Yeah, it's printed on communion wafers.
Huh.
Yeah.
Let's double check.
This one star Kirk Cameron. Does he play a Zeppelin pilot or something?
Doesn't seem like he's in it, but it's that kind of movie,
has
exactly.
An important lesson to learn when he starts losing hydrogen. His wife's cheating on him, but then God saves him.
Oh, that sounds like a good one. Yeah. I should see that.
Yeah.
Zeppelin. Only God can keep you aloft in Zeppelin. Starring Kirk Cameron. 3D.
Okay, now we can finally call BS on Gene Simmons and his BS girlfriend, Shannon Tweedy, right? Yeah. They got married this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just saying, they got married this weekend.
Oh.
See, Kevin was calling BS for the opposite reason, that they would never get married, right? That the whole thing was a joke?
No, I'm calling BS when they were, remember they were running around all, going on the Today Show with their backs to each other? Oh, I hate you. We're breaking up. Yeah, we're in big trouble. Our relationship sure is in big trouble. This is after they filmed the season where he proposed to her. And obviously, they had been planning a wedding while they were giving these interviews.
No, they just got married this weekend, Ruff.
Yeah, I know.
But he's saying
you make plans to get married, especially when you know you're engaged.
Okay,
I think it's all still a stunt.
Well, he certainly said he'd never get married. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But when they were, my point is, when they were going around with all the famous interviews they were doing, saying, "Oh yeah, we're in trouble. Look at this.
Sure,
look at this
upset footage at each
of
other.
This episode. Oh, she sure is angry at me. Oh, we can barely be in the same room and talk to each other." By that point, they'd already filmed the episode where they were engaged, and they were already making plans for the wedding.
Yeah.
So when they were telling us in these interviews, "Oh, they were in big trouble. We don't know. I don't know how if we're going to survive. I don't know if we're going to stay together." Oh, BS! You big BSers with all your BS. Anyway, they're married now. Gene Simmons married at 62, by the way.
Well,
Shannon's 54.
He's probably done with it, you know?
Yeah.
he's had a good life. It's tired.
What's he going to do at 62 real now that he hasn't done before? They wrote their own vows, by the way. I can only imagine.
Oh, dear God.
You can buy those vows at kiss.com right now.
I'm sure. Do Gene's vows involve rock and roll of all night and partying every day or anything like that? Did he work any of that in?
I didn't read the vows.
Because, you know, it seems like he would look at it as an opportunity to promote some music.
Yeah. Speaking of engagements and marriages, Jack Osborne's engaged. After just 4 months of dating, he has proposed to Lisa Stelly, is her name.
Can you imagine those in-laws?
Oh, they got to be horrified.
Yeah. Mom and Dad, sit down. Yeah. Ozzy is going to be my father-in-law.
Lisa's an aspiring actress. So I guess she's marrying into a showbiz family. Could be the right thing to do, I guess. And newly single Jennifer Lopez apparently is buying her own bachelor pad.
Yeah,
apparently she just made a massive purchase on a huge home and it's going to make all the room for all the boy toys she's going to have. And we talk about this from time to time here on the show. The tattoo regret.
Oh, yeah.
Turns out Elizabeth Canales recently booted off of Dancing with the Stars. Has that case.
Is that George Clooney's?
George Clooney's ex, yeah.
Yes.
The Italian TV presenter he was dating for a long, long time. She's got a tattoo of roses on her right bicep. And apparently someone was inquiring about that. And she said, well, it's worse. I had to put that on to cover up the old tattoo that I regretted getting. I regret the roses, but I regret more what's underneath the roses. Turns out when she was 21 years old, she had M&M inked on her arm because she was such a big fan.
Is that right?
Yeah. And as she got older, she realized that it's probably a little silly. So she put some roses on top of it.
That's her. He's still pretty good.
I know. But where's your M&M tattoo?
Ass.
Oh. I didn't expect that answer. Today's celebrity birthday is magician Roy Horn of the legendary Siegfried and Roy. He's 67 years old today.
Ripped apart by Tiger?
This was ripped.
This was ripped. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I think Roy ripped. That's what I remember. Roy ripped. He's 67 years old. Lindsay Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac is 62. Reverend Al Sharpton celebrates his 57th birthday. Not quite sure how he made the celebrity list. I'm going to take that right off that list there. Yeah, Tommy Lee of Motley Crue is 49 years old. Actor Clive Owen is 47. Gwen Stefani, if no doubt, celebrates her 42nd birthday today. Kevin Richardson of Backstreet Boys is 40. Nev Campbell's 38. G-Love!
Of Special Sauce?
He is 39 years old.
Yes, of, but not including.
Sean William Scott's 35. Shannon Sossaman. She's 33 years old today. Hey, where's the bell? Where's the bell? Where's the bell?
Who is she?
Just ring the bell.
All right.
And Ashley Simpson Wentz is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
The Kardashians, there's too many of them, and they have too many TV shows, and they're on too many TV shows. Yet this week, they're taking over Kathy Lee's position on the Today Show Fourth Hour. It's Kathy Lee and Hoda, I guess, are the ones who normally host it.
This is the chick show that you watch every day.
I don't know that I watch it every day, but I do have the Today Show on, and then that is the last hour of the Today Show, so I do see it from time to time. But yeah, it's very, very popular. It's one of those shows, you know, like Regis and Kelly, where they have a lot of guests and lifestyle features. But this week, Kathy Lee's on vacation, and every day they have a different Kardashian filling in. And today, it's Khloe. She's filling in on the show today,
what?
And she joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show to tell us more about this exciting week of NBC programming. Hey, Khloe.
Hello.
Oh, it's Lamar. Oh.
I'm sorry, Lamar. I apologize. We're looking for your wife.
Yeah, she's getting ready for the TV show.
Getting ready for the TV show.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Too busy.
Okay. Can you grab her or no?
All right. Hold on a second.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Sorry. Thanks a lot. I hope we didn't wake you up, buddy.
Chloe, put that roller that you put the makeup on. Put down that roller and get on the phone.
Roller?
Yeah. Come on. Chloe, come here.
It's a lot of makeup.
Oh, here she comes. Gosh. I hope no one lives underneath them.
Hello?
Hi, Khloe. It's Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Ryan and Juliana. How are you?
No. Still Kevin and Bean. Listen, do you have a minute? I know you're getting ready for the TV show today.
Yes, I'm very busy. I'm going to be on the Today Show. It's one of the hosts.
Mm-hmm.
That's right,
the Today Show.
The Today Show, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So you're on today. I guess tomorrow Bruce is going to be doing it, right?
Who?
Bruce Jenner.
Not familiar with him.
And then Chris, I guess your mom, is going to be doing it on Wednesday.
My momager.
Yes.
Not
your mom is right.
My mom, she's my manager.
She is your momager.
She's my momager.
And then your hottie sister, Courtney, is taking over on Thursday in for Kathy Lee. And then I guess the crescendo, they build up to Friday, the only show that people really care about, and that's your sister, Kim. She's going to be in the chair.
I'm sorry, what?
What's that? What's the blank?
Nothing. I love her.
Well, it sounded like you were mocking her because she's filling in on Friday.
No, I just had a cow stuck in my throat.
A cow?
Yes.
Wow.
Not a piece of meat?
It's unusual.
No.
A whole cow. Whole cow. Okay. All right.
I meant it. I'm here to represent it.
What do you have planned for your big hour of television today?
Oh, I can't wait because, you know, the fourth hour of today's show, it's less hard news and more lifestyle stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm really good at, lifestyle things.
Sure.
So we're going to be tackling some topics that today's women really wanted the answers to.
Like
dinner, feed bag or trough. Sometimes you're torn. You don't know which way to go. I mean, a trough is great because you can put all the different courses in one just giant bucket.
Right.
And just stick your face in there.
Sure.
But a feed bag, I think, is more delicate and more feminine.
It is?
Yes, okay. When you strap on a feed bag. So It's a question a lot of women have, and we'll be tackling that today.
Are you sure a lot of women have that question?
Me and Hoda!
Just a few.
Also, when it comes to bedtime, mm-hmm. is there a larger bed than the California King?
I don't think there is.
We'll investigate that with Larry from Sit and Sleep. Because I have to push two together. I push the two California Kings together, and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. There must be a size for regular-sized people, right?
Well, that's the California King.
Something like a West Coast King or a North America King or something just a little bit larger.
That's a big bed for most people already. One of them.
What?
Well, you also nice. You also have a basketball player as a husband, so that takes up a little bit more room than usual, too.
Oh, he doesn't sleep in the same bed as I do.
Oh, is that right?
What?
No.
How come?
There's no room for both of us.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And my feet are always dangling off the edge.
Sure.
So I have to get something larger. So we'll look into that today.
Okay. All right.
And then also, women. Why are we so jealous of each other? That's what I want to know.
Oh, that's an interesting topic.
It is. I think we need to stand together as sisters, not be torn apart by jealousy.
But didn't you just go, wah, wah, about your sister Kim?
Hello, Cal. Told you. Explained. Moving on. Okay. Why are women jealous just because, I don't know, you can bench press more than they do? Why do they hate you for that?
I don't think they do.
Mm-mm. Why do they hate you because you can slam dunk while standing on the court?
I don't think any women hate
Why
you for
do
that.
Women hate other women for that? Why are they so jealous of it?
I don't think anyone is jealous of you.
They should love. They should give love.
Right.
They should love.
Right.
Why do they get so jealous when people call you Wookie when you're walking down the street?
I don't think anyone is jealous of that.
Why are women jealous of that?
They're not.
Come on, ladies. Are you with me?
Chloe, who's your co-host again today? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Hoda!
Good luck.
TV show House returns tonight on Fox, and the actress formerly known as Odette Useman is going to be joining the cast. I think House is in prison or something like that. She works at the prison. I think that's what's going on here. Now goes by Odette Annabelle. She'll be joining us after the top of the hour. Morgan Spurlock, who still is known as Morgan Spurlock, will be also joining us next hour. You're listening to The Kevin Bean Show. Time now for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. You know, I follow the Kevin and Bean Twitter, and it is throughout the weekend, from time to time, advising you to go ahead and call if you're drunk. Now, is that the best kind of Afro calls? Is that what we're encouraging, is people to call when they're drunk?
I think so.
Okay.
I believe I'm down with that. Unfortunately, this particular guy is not drunk, but the person he's referring to, Beer Mug, may be.
Do you think he could have gotten a little nervous under the pressure?
Dr. Conrad Murray.
You know, I the only way I could personalize it to my own story is, you know, I do a lot of drugs myself, and my buddy gives me some powerful stuff sometimes.
Is there a question?
And he doesn't know how powerful it is. You know, either I'm hitting the floor or I'm having a good night. But at the end, I don't sue him. Is that? Can you compare it to that, maybe?
No.
So the great Andy Rooney steps down from 60 Minutes, and you guys have got Beer Mug out there with the hard-hitting interviews. Coincidence?
It's a good question. More of Beer Mug outside the Michael Jackson, Dr. Conrad Murray trial.
Now, the drug that he administered, propane, he had a little bit too much of that.
Pro what?
Propane.
No, sir. Get it correct.
My name is Beer Mug, and I sell propane and propane accessories. That a pool.
I am not excited about this.
Halloween.
There it is. There it is. By the way, a lot of email, a lot of tweets, a lot of Facebook requests. It is that time of the season, as you know, for Halloween spooks, but we're still a tiny bit early to get into Halloween music.
I'm going to make an educated guess that the Marconi people did not hear the Wheel of Bad Animal voices before they made their misguided selection.
How dare you?
Dare you, sir?
I believe that's the only reason we received the Marconi is because of the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
There's a lot of talk still about the, you know, the Star Wars just came out on Blu-ray and it got changed and they added a...
No!
People aren't thrilled.
Yeah.
It's time. No. For that. No. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. No!
Guy called us in the bathroom.
I'm out of toilet paper.
No!
Some excitement about the time of year?
Kevin and Bean, it's the first day of tennis team. 1, 2, 3, 4. Melfon!
Wow, the Melfon tribute band is better than the real Melfon.
They didn't play that.
They sure are. And we did a topic about embarrassing injuries, and we did leave one major embarrassing injury out, and I'm upset about it. I apologize to the listeners that we didn't catch this one.
Hey, Bean. I just got done listening to the bit about the embarrassing accident, and I was curious why you didn't tell that story about how you hurt yourself listening to a Niecy song. You sprained your ankle, I think, listening to it or something. You should tell it, though. It's really hilarious. It gets me cracking up every time I hear it. Thanks.
Glad to oblige. This is Bean from who knows when.
Long time ago.
But he sure was hurt in an embarrassing way. Call the AFRO line 323-520-AFRO.
Yeah. 95, PGC. I still love that song. From Niecy. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
No!
Ralph Garman is here. Time for a look at the showbiz beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on, dude?
What's that sound
like? Exciting noise. I'm starting that trend.
Really?
Peek-a-boo!
Now, are you sold on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Or are you just trying it out?
I'm watching a lot of the entertainment news shows over the weekend, and they all have some sort of sound, some sort of excitement sound when they go into like exclusive stories or breaking news.
Exclusive.
Exclusive.
A lot of whispering.
Peek-a-boo!
All right.
Something like that.
All right. So.
We may need to change up your old-style Hollywood music for some sort of rave bed, too, if we want to really get on the program.
That's how it should go. All right, let's get into showbiz news. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. What a surprise that a dolphin once again shall lead us this weekend. And it was the case. Dolphin's Tale, $14.2 million, made it number one at the box office.
People love tales about dolphins.
Morgan Freeman has found out. Moneyball. Second at the box office, $12.5 million. Lion King 3D was third. 50-50 came in at number four. Then number five, Courageous.
Huh?
Courageous is a film made by those people who make those inspirational religious films that Kirk Cameron's always in.
Any stars in this one? At least we'd heard of Kirk Cameron in the last one.
I'm sorry. I did no research since the last Showbiz Beat about this film. I'm just going to wait for it to pass. It's like heartburn. I'm just going to wait for this film to pass. Dreamhouse was sixth. Abduction seventh. What's Your Number? With Anna Faris only made $5.6 million at the box office. Contagion was ninth. And then Killer Elite rounding out your top ten at the box office. This weekend, we do like to talk about the new TV shows that are coming back, premieres and what have you. Tonight, the big premiere, House is coming back. House!
There it is. There it is.
Hugh Laurie returns as Dr. Gregory House. This time, he's in the big house. You know!
We need sound effects after that, Ralph.
They would not have let you on the show, Ralph, if they knew that that's the way you were going to talk about it.
The reason I like House is because a lot of dramas do a lot of ridiculous things with their characters.
Right.
Like Desperate Housewives, for example. They're always, you know, blowing somebody up or setting somebody on fire or whatever. But no one ever gets it. There's no repercussions.
Right.
House always pays the price. He was institutionalized for a while. Remember when he had that breakdown?
Sure.
And he was in the mental institution? Now he's in prison. He drove a car through someone's house. If it happened in real life that you drove your car through someone's house, this is what would happen. You would go to prison.
That's correct.
That's right. And that's where we find him.
And
tonight.
You know who your doctor wouldn't look like in prison?
All right. Maybe they take some liberties. I'm just saying.
We're going to talk to her next.
I'm looking forward to tonight's episode very much.
As am I.
Not as much as next week's episode, but I'm just saying I'm looking forward to tonight's episode.
Oh, is next week the week?
What? What? What are you talking about, Kevin? What? What?
Oh, what? It's Kevin? Funny because you're what? Excited about next week
what?
More than...
What? I don't...
Because I think
why
you're
would
in...
I be excited about...
Well, I think you're in one of these episodes.
What?
I think so.
I completely forgot about that.
Really? Wow.
Wow. Thanks for reminding me.
No
yes,
worries.
Now that I think of it, yes, I am in next week's house. That's right. Boy, now I'm really even more looking forward to it.
So it wasn't that. Then.
No, I was just looking forward to the continuation of the story. That's all. Robert Pattinson. Rob Pattinson? Has female fans all over the world. But,
Which is ironic, isn't it?
Anna Kendrick isn't one of them.
Why?
Because she says, you know, Anna's in the Twilight series. She says she loves talking to fans about Twilight series, but she says invariably the conversation turns to Robert Pattinson and she's just tired of talking about him.
Well, talk to him about him.
Yeah, exactly. Why would people come up to her and ask questions about him? That would be rude.
What's he like?
Yeah. It's like you and me, Kevin. Bean, people always do that with Bean. When they see us, when they meet us in person, the first question out of their mouth is always like, oh, is Bean really as dreamy as he seems?
That's true.
Yeah.
We get tired of it.
Yeah, we do.
What are you going to do?
It's a cross Bean has to bear. Hurts. Edward Furlong's in trouble.
No.
Star of Terminator 2.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know.
That is shocking.
This time it's financial as opposed to drug-related. He just paid $3,200 in child support to his ex-wife. And that's not enough. Apparently he owes $12,000 in payments that are back due. And almost $4,000 in interest. Now, Edward begged a judge for mercy last January when he admitted to being completely broke. But the courts now are saying you have to find that money somehow or else you're in big, big trouble.
He's probably not getting much work, right?
No, he isn't, sadly. I think so. But he's got to do something. Look, if acting isn't working out, I don't know.
Burgers?
Burgers. Do something. You got to get a job and you got to take care of your kids.
That's real talk right there, man.
It's the price you pay. And... you know Jason Biggs, friend of the show. We love Jason.
Love him.
He's got that new movie coming out, American Reunion, which is the entire cast of American Pie back together again for the first time, you know, in a while. He is married to a beautiful young actress named Jenny Mullen, and she may be the greatest wife ever. Playboy this month, she tells the story of how, for Jason's birthday in Vegas, she ordered him up a prostitute.
What?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Hi, how are you? Hi, greatest wife ever.
Hold it, wait.
As a sexy adventure, she and Jason, she ordered up a prostitute to their room in Vegas. I can't describe to you here what she had the prostitute do.
Can you off the air?
Yeah, sure.
Can you tweet it?
Sure.
And she was there, too? It was for a threesome?
Not exactly, no.
Okay.
You can't describe...
It was a twosome. She was there, but it was just for Jason's pleasure, for his enjoyment.
I think he got a special little gift
from the working girl.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Are you listening, wives?
That was purchased by his wife for him, and she recounts the sexy and sometimes comical adventure of trying to find a prostitute for her husband in this article. And I read it. I recommend it highly. So
you okay, can
check it out. Yeah, I'm just saying that's quite the wife right there.
Kidding.
That's what she is. Jason apparently was nervous as hell during the whole process. All he could think about was, can you imagine American Pie actor hires prostitute? That was the headline that was flashing in his head. All right, good stuff.
Sweet.
Today's celebrity birthday is Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy is 67 years old today. Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac, 62 years old. Great guitarist, that Lindsey Buckingham, by the way. Jack Wagner, he was a star for a while there.
She sure was.
Jack.
Oh, Jack.
Yeah, 52 years old. Tommy Lee of Motley Crue, 49.
When your life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
Clive Owens, 47. Gwen Stefani's 42. Nev Campbell's 38. Sean William Scott is 35. Shannon Sussman is 33 years old. And Ashley Simpson Wentz celebrates her 27th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz.
Documentary filmmaker Morgan Spurlock in minutes. Plus, we'll try to decipher from Kevin's tweets what his drunken weekend in Las Vegas was all about.
How dare you?
It really is. It's crazy to try to put the pieces together just based on what you upload to the internet when you're on the road. First, though, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little bit disappointed. I thought when Odette, at the time, Usman was in the studio, I thought there was a real love connection there. I figured that was going to happen. And then I found out she ran off and got married to some other dude, and now she's Odette Animal. So what the hell is that all about? I'm very disappointed. I just want to start, Odette, by saying I'm very disappointed. I thought we shared a special something, but apparently not. How are you, my dear?
We did share a special something.
Don't tell him that.
I'll never forget.
Don't tell him that. It was a bad read, and just let him know that right up front.
How long have you been married now?
Oh, my gosh. It'll be a year next week.
He is not right for you, Dad. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. He's no good.
You told me.
I've got a backup plan, I see.
You told me just before we got on the air that you don't know anything about him.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying.
So it's very exciting. So you are working and he is not. Are you supporting his fat ass? Is that what's happening right now?
I'm definitely supporting him. He's golfing his life away.
Oh,
wow. Awesome.
He's married to you and golfing his life away.
That's right.
That guy's got it good.
That's awesome.
He worked for about 5 years, so he's taking a little break. It's all right.
Okay.
Well, look, if you're going to do another series, could you do any better than House? Come on, right?
I know. It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't even know how it happened, but I'm so grateful. The show's so great. I mean, the writing, the acting, it's really just flawless. It's great.
It is. It's one of the best shows on TV. It has been. I guess it's opening up its eighth season tonight, and you are new to the cast, and we're not going to try to catch people up, but it does start off a year after last season. Am I right about that?
That's right. Something like that, about 6 months to a year. Yep.
Okay. So Greg, Dr. House, he's in prison because he drove his car into Cuddy's house. And, of course, you can't get away with that. There are consequences to that. And tell us how he gets to know you and what your character is all about, Odette.
So her name is Dr. Jessica Adams. You meet her during the season premiere in prison. She's a prison doctor. The interesting thing about her is that she comes from a very, you know, wealthy family, so she doesn't have to work, but she wants to, and she's so passionate about medicine. She's sort of an overachiever with a cause, and so she's working at the prison, and of course she's giving a patient a diagnosis, and House sees her and realizes that it's a misdiagnosis, and he butts in, and you know, they ultimately end up helping each other, and she makes a decision that could affect her career for the rest of her life. So it's pretty exciting. It's a great, great episode, you know, and you'll be in prison. You'll see House in prison for the whole thing.
Sweet. I've watched a lot of prison shows on Discovery Channel.
I know where you're going.
You've seen the lockup shows, right?
I'm just saying, right. There's not a doctor that looks like you at a million miles from any prison.
I knew you were going there.
Seriously, though, come on.
Yes. Well, we are working with television
right
now. It's the movie world.
Okay.
Movie magic.
I'm fine with it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just, it's, you know.
Look, House finds all the hottest doctors ever. I mean, think about 13, for instance. I mean, come on.
He's pretty hot. Absolutely.
Come on with that. So, I guess.
It's a compliment, you know.
Yes.
It's very much a compliment. How did you feel as an actress? A lot of times we'll talk to people who are, if they're playing characters that have very specific terminology that can be complicated, whether it's the law or it's medicine or something like that, sometimes it's very tough to pull that stuff off and feel comfortable with it. How did you take to being a doctor on TV?
Sometimes. I mean, it's very, very difficult. I mean, I have to be saying these medical terms as if they're just a part of my vocabulary. So it's, you know, it's very interesting. I mean, we have researchers on the show and we've got medical techs and, you know, nurses on hand whenever we need them, you know, to explain how to do every procedure, and they're watching us behind the monitor just so that we get it right. But, you know, there's a lot of prep to go into it. You can't just go, you know, walk on set and wing it, as opposed to maybe some other things that you kind of can, and there isn't much improv on the show. So, you know, the writing is pretty precious, and you really stick to that. So it's been a very big adjustment, but it's a great challenge.
Do you have times where they go, nope, nope, cut. All right, listen. And then they correct you and they go, oh, nope, cut.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's been some of those times, but I feel so much better that a few of the other actors, they also, you know, you these terms are not, you know, normal.
Yeah.
So at least to a regular person that's not a doctor. So they cut you some slack, which is nice.
Fantastic.
This is the voice of actress Odette Annabelle on the phone. She is formerly Odette Usman, if you know her better by that name, but get used to the new name, damn it.
That's right.
This was more difficult, say, than Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2, is what you're telling us.
Oh, my gosh. A little bit different.
Just a bit.
Tell us about, I want to know what it's like, and I'm asking this question particularly for the ladies in the audience who have been in love with, Dr. House for all of these seasons. What's it like working with him in real life? Because he seems like he would be so charming and so entertaining and so fun, and then he manages to flip a switch and become not only a guy with an American accent, but an actual doctor.
Right. I mean, it's unbelievable to see him work. He's so talented. And you know, I couldn't help but to think maybe he really is like House because he plays him so well. So I was terrified to meet him. I really was. But Hugh is wonderful. He's a wonderful person, and he's, you know, such a talented man, and I'm having a great time. And he's, you know, he keeps things light, and he jokes around. He's very, very funny. So it's been a pleasure so far. Who knows what's going to happen, but so far, so good.
He's got to be used to, because he's been playing this character for years, he's got to be used to people being terrified of him.
I think so.
I mean, everybody that comes up to him, he's like, oh, yeah, it's no big deal.
Right, and then you meet this lovely man, and you just, he makes you feel comfortable right away. It's pretty unbelievable to see it happen.
Does he play piano on the set?
He does.
Annoying.
He does play every chance he gets. He's such a great musician. I'm like, well, Hugh, is there something you're not good at?
Yeah.
I mean, it's annoying, really.
It is, right? He's just showing off.
All right. We're almost out of time here. House comes back finally tonight on Fox at 9 o'clock. So you start off in the prison, and I guess we're not giving anything away because it's been all over the press, but at some point, Dr. House is going to get out of prison. He's going to take you with him, and then we'll see you back in the hospital, right?
You'll see me back at Princeton Plainsboro. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I mean, what are the chances that House would leave prison and not take her?
Of course not.
A brilliant medical mind. She looks hot.
Smart man. He's recruiting me.
He's a smart man indeed.
Well, Odette, it's always a lot of fun to have you on the show. Congratulations on this gig. Of course, we will be watching. So thank you for spending some time on the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you for having me. Seriously.
Thank you, Odette. Bye now.
Here's what I'm saying, guys. A round of applause to Kevin for just showing up and still being alive, right?
Who's with me? I'm not happiness to come work for now.
Every time Kevin tells us, and he casually mentions on a Friday, it's usually something like this. He goes, guys, I left my wallet at home again, and I'm going to Vegas after the show. And we go, oh, here we go again.
And then my cash, my wallet, my address, and our car, not have.
And we're like, you haven't even left yet. You haven't even started drinking. Why do you sound so bad?
I wasn't drunk on Friday.
I am not drunk now.
Morning.
I'm just amazed when he comes back in one piece. That's all. So what was the play on this? This was the annual hockey trip,
yes,
right?
This is Frozen Fury. The Kings play the Colorado Avalanche. And there's a poker tournament on Friday night, which I can't believe is what Ralph's referring to.
No, why does that not go? I say God bless
it's for you. It's for Luke Robitaille has a charity called Echoes of Hope, echoesofhope.org, and it's for at-risk youth, and we raise money with a poker tournament.
So it's not for Luke Robitaille Bailey?
Look. I may have spelled his name wrong when I tweeted about it.
But Robate Tailies.
I think for $1,000 cash, Kevin could not have spelled Luke Robitaille's name right from Las Vegas. I really do.
Well, drunk thumbs don't help. That's the problem.
The drunk funks don't care about spelling.
So so it's a charity tournament, so everybody's kind of a little loose, and it's not like a normal tournament. So, you know, maybe have a drink. So we get into the tournament, and I see a friend. They're like, clean up, table four. So I was like, oh, this is great because it's a friend of mine. And he has spilled a beer on the table right at the beginning of the night.
Oh, man.
So I get up from my table, and I go over, and I'm like, loser, come on. What are you doing? You can't hold your beer, can't take you in there, blah, 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 blah. I'm making fun of him, and then my table calls me back over.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back over, and then they're all looking at me, and I realize it's my turn.
Yes.
So I reach up to grab my cards and throw them in, and I hit my beer. Only it was full, and there were, I don't know, 50 chips out in the middle now with beer all over them.
Oh, man.
Cards with beer all over them.
Let me allow Kevin's tweet to tell the story.
All right.
In Vegas at Luke Robate Taylor's poker tournament, just spilled beer all over table and cards and chips. Can't take me anywhere.
How did it spell anywhere?
Anywhere was A-N-Y-W-H-R-E.
Oh. Well, that's how they spell it in Spain and Mexico.
Cards with two S at the end, by the way. Cards and chips and spilled beer, S-P-L-L-E-D. All right.
But you knew what I meant.
Well, yes, I had to have a special needs child translate for me.
But it was
me.
Much worse because it was just after I was mocking another person for spilling beer, only I did it much worse.
They're bringing towels now.
They were bringing towels,
reads.
Yeah.
I need to stow drinking. S-T-O. I need to stow drinking.
What does that mean? You think I was going for stop?
I'm
or?
Guessing you were going for stop and couldn't complete stop.
Because I was having another drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good to tweet. I need some kind of a tweet block when I'm drunk. Because it sounds funny to me at the time. And I think I'm spelling it right and everybody's going to laugh and it'll be funny. And then I realize I'm not spelling anything right.
I think we enjoy it just the way it is. Kevin.
Well, I'd rather. Is there any kind of an app that you can have where you have to blow into your phone and it'll register your drunken level and then it won't allow you?
Give him the breathalyzer!
The girl tweeted, I got high-fived by Kevin Ryder on my way to Frozen Fury. And Kevin retweeted it with the response, I scratched my ass and then high-fived the girl tonight. Funny.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Another listener tweeted, Kevin Ryder in Vegas would love to buy you a drink. Just saw this. Nice offer. Just mail me cash.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
Another listener tweeted, you never said how you did in the tourney. Booted after you dumped your beer. Came in 16th-ish. Didn't even cut me off.
Came in 16th. Wasn't.
Ish.
Wasn't great.
How did he come in 16th-ish?
I wasn't positive. It was 16th or 17th.
Oh, man. Wow, Kevin, you sure butchered Luke's last name. This guy tweets, I know, drunk thumbs don't care about spelling.
But Luke Robitaille's name, in my defense, his last name is gluttonous with letters. I mean, really, there's way too many.
It's like foreign and some junk.
Honestly. Yeah. I don't know that I can spell it now. I think I could, but certainly not Friday night.
Kevin, I thought you didn't drink while playing poker. I usually don't, but all the cool kids were doing it.
That's funny.
I think you need to stow drinking. You really do.
I do need to stow drinking. That's probably.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We got a big week ahead here on the show, including Brian Deegan. He's going to be joining us tomorrow, talking about the upcoming Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo. Sarah Wayne Callies is going to be here. She's one of the stars of The Walking Dead. Later in the week, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses on the show. We got an actor from the American Horror Story, Evan Peters, Adam Carolla. How about Joseph Gordon-Levitt on the show later this week?
Come on.
Nice.
How much do you love that dude?
He's the best.
Yep.
And, of course, Kevin believes in psychics and mediums, so we're having Teresa Caputo on. She is the Long Island medium. Dr. Drew later in the week, Dana White, and I can't believe we're doing this, but Tom Six is going to be joining us again this week. Do you remember that name, Lisa? Tom Six?
Mm-mm.
He is the director of The Human Centipede, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Yes. No. Are you serious?
It's back, and it's worse than ever.
Oh, dear God.
And his new film, The Human Centipede 2. So all of that this week on The Kevin and Bean Show.
First, let's say good morning to Morgan Spurlock.
Morgan Spurlock is back on the show. What?
Back on the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are good. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man.
I don't know how you're able to make documentaries so fast that I can't even watch them all, but it's unbelievable how many you've... I mean, how many movies have you made in the past year, Morgan?
This is... well, we finished Comic-Con, which just premiered at TIFF, and then this one, which is airing now. Yeah, so it's been... This would be the third one in the last year.
Right, and your Day in the Life shows that you did that I watched some of.
Day in the Life TV series, yeah.
And the Comic-Con fan thing you mentioned, and then the greatest movie ever sold. You had that.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how hard you're working, but I'm really excited about this new series because ESPN, I mean, they when they started their 30 for 30 series, they just blew everybody away with how great they are. You don't necessarily think ESPN's where you go for documentaries.
That's right.
And now they've got this new series, and you're one of seven directors that's going to be appearing you know, every week. There'll be a new movie from a new director, right?
That's right. Alex Gibney did one last week. Mine is this week. And it was, I mean, I remember getting called when they were doing 30 for 30, and I just couldn't fit it into my schedule to make a film at the time. And so then when this opportunity came up, I jumped at the chance because I've been dying to make a film with them.
Well, I tell you, I taped the Gibney one, Catching Hell, about Steve Bartman, the Cubs fan that a lot of people still blame for screwing up that series, the guy who, remember, interrupted the field of play. And I hear it is magnificent. I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. But yours airs next week, right? Next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday, October 11th at 8 o'clock.
All right. What's your topic? And did you get to pick it or did they assign it to you?
No, I picked it. It's, you know, we talked about a lot of different ideas. And I said it would be great to kind of dive into the kind of Jerry Maguires of the world. And let's tell the real story of sports agents, like what happens with them, what you know, are there really shifty guys out there? Are there people you shouldn't trust? And so this is about the good, the bad, the ugly of sports agents.
The answer to that question is, are there guys out there you shouldn't trust? Is yes, right?
No, of course there is.
Okay.
You know, just as there are people right outside, you know, your studio that you shouldn't trust.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, there are people inside our studio we shouldn't trust. How many sports agents did you talk to or profile in your piece, Morgan?
Yeah, we talked to about five, and we really follow, you know, and speak to three of them, you know, really in-depthly. You know, one of them, Peter Greenberg, who kind of changed the game of baseball, you know, with the way he got Johan Santana, one of the biggest contracts for a pitcher ever. Eugene Lee, who's kind of a young up-and-coming agent as we see him hustle to get his players into the NFL draft and hopefully get them on a big team. You know, we speak to David Falk, the guy who literally created Brand Jordan, and Josh Lux, who he wrote a story last year about how he was one of many agents that are actually paying players in the NCAA.
Oh! Oh! Wow! Yeah. How do they get away with that?
You don't get away with it. Like you know, this he was one of the he basically walked away from being a sports agent because he said I just can't do it anymore. You know, he says, listen, there's tons of people out there doing just what I'm doing who are paying guys through their college days, knowing that the day they graduate they'll be able to sign the contract with them. You know, this is almost like, you know, almost like an advance against their contract, an unspoken advance.
And does that happen a lot?
And he says it happens all the time. He goes, it happens a lot more than you think. And
because I know the big Reggie Bush schedule, you know, that big scandal.
Yeah, I mean, which you know, these things happen all the time.
Yeah.
You know, the boosters, the schools, the agents, you know, there's so much money at stake for college athletes. You know, it's one of the things where we talked about it a little bit in our special. It's something that deserves a whole hour unto itself.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, it sounds like it. What was fascinating to you about the guy behind the guy? Because let's face it, most people would be interested in, you know, what's Alex Rodriguez doing, not what's the guy who gets him the big contract doing.
Well, that's the incredible thing. Like, if you know, speaking of like an Alex Rodriguez, if you look at baseball, Peter Greenberg, who he was an agent who really recognized that there was untapped talent in Latin American countries, specifically South America. So he went to Venezuela and started bringing players to the United States. And now, as part of what he's doing, he's working with schools down there, with camps, where they're starting to farm kids and they're grooming them. They're grooming them into being professional baseball players as young as 12 years old. These kids are going into these schools.
Wow.
So it's incredible. I mean, it's big money. And in Latin America, you can sign a contract to become a professional athlete at the age of 16, unlike 18 in the United States.
Wow. In the guys that you talked to, did you come up with a conclusion as to why they got into sports agents? Was it because they were fans of sports or because they just saw there was incredible potential for big money in it?
I mean, most of these guys are fans. I mean, I think it starts off with being a real fanatic about the sport and also usually, like, you know, like myself, an inherent lack of ability. So when you love a sport and you can't play, then you're like, great, at least I can do this.
I want to do something else that's tangentially related to it.
Yeah. So, you know, these are guys who just, you know, they love the sports. And I think there's people who, at the heart of this, a lot of the agents that we spoke to, who really do want to do right by these guys, that they have the ability to help make some of these kids' dreams come true. And that's a real responsibility.
Is there a line that you can see, though, between helping your guy get the best he can and actually you get into an area where they hurt the sport?
Well, I mean, that's a lot of the conversations that are coming up now where they say, no, like these agents, all they're doing is they're driving up the contracts, they're driving up the price, and, you know, they're these baseball players are making more money than they ever should. And we did a great interview with a commentator from ESPN who said, listen, Kelly Ripa makes $24 million a year talking about what she ate last night, more than, you know, second only to, like, the baseball players in the United States. Like, there's only one other person who makes more than Kelly Ripa, but nobody complains about that.
$24 million? No one knew.
Yeah, exactly.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
Hey, Morgan, as a result of dipping your toe into this topic, do you have any thoughts on what should happen with the NBA lockout right now? Because I'm sure you see sports agents right in the middle of that arguing and union representatives arguing for their players, and then you hear the compelling arguments on the other side from the owners. Well, how do you think it ought to be handled?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you always hear the owners are always crying poor. You know, the owners are always saying, oh, we don't have any money. You know, it's all we need to do everything we can to, you know, to keep money back, to keep the sport alive.
Right.
You know, they can continue to sell the naming rights to stadiums, but none of that ever gets passed down to you and me, the ticket buyers. You know, the ticket prices are always insane, and they're only getting more and more expensive. So, you know, for me, it's like this is still a cost-benefit game, you know. So a player will get what the market will bear. And ultimately, I don't think it's players that are driving up ticket prices at a stadium. I think owners are still driving up ticket prices.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were able to put this in the special. We're talking to director Morgan Spurlock right now about The Dotted Line, which airs on ESPN next Tuesday night. But did you walk away with any conclusions about the sports agent business or something that you didn't know?
I mean, I think there's a lot of things that were fascinating to me. I mean, I love the conversations we have with David Falk. You know, this was the guy who created Brand Jordan. You know, this is the guy who saw talent in this kid, who said, I'm going to help make you, the best professional athlete you can be. He created the shoe contract with Nike, which, you know, in the first year, like Nike said when they signed the deal with Jordan, you know, in the next 3 years, we'd like this to make, you know, $3 or $4 million. And in the first year of Air Jordan being on the market, they made $130 million.
Wow!
Year one. And so
wow.
to hear him reflect on the conversations and the business conversations that he had with Michael Jordan, I mean, it's an incredible thing to hear because he changed the game completely.
Of course, but yeah. yet he can't call Michael Jordan today and get him to shave off the Hitler mustache. That's still out of his realm, right?
Hello, Michael. I'd like to speak to you about your mustache.
Yeah, I don't think he would take that call, unfortunately. Is the world as sleazy as a lot of people believe?
I think that, you know, there's good, bad, and ugly.
I
think there is a slimy side to sports agenting, just like there's a slimy side to the entertainment business.
Sure,
you know, just entertainment agents, and you know, I think that. You know, you can get a sense of some of that when we interview Josh Lux and he's talking about what's happened within the industry. But, you know, you don't get a real picture of that because, of course, those people won't talk to you. What you do realize, though, is this is a business where bad news travels fast. And if you're somebody who's making a name by screwing people over, you're not going to be in the business very long.
Oh, I see.
Right, right. Yeah. All right, last question for you, Morgan, and that is, and you don't have to tell us what it was, but did you film anything that after the fact your subject said, don't put it in the movie?
No, I mean we were given great access to all the agents that we worked with. You know, there were a couple times when we were involved with them talking to some players where they were having kind of sensitive contract conversations they didn't want us to put in the show.
Right.
Which we agreed not to put in, but apart from that, no, I mean we were given great access to these folks.
Well, ESPN is doing a wonderful job with their documentaries lately, and this one sounds like the latest in a long line. It is called The Dotted Line. It airs next Tuesday night on the channel. Morgan Spurlock is the director and has been our guest. Always a pleasure to have you on, dude. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. How was your weekend, by the way, Ralph? How did it go with the return of Mr. Smith at the podcast?
Oh, it was great, great show Friday night.
Good
and
times?
Then, all weekend long, I was just running around. I had a family wedding down in La Jolla, down in near San Diego. And then my father's birthday was Sunday, so
wow.
It was one of those weekends where you don't stop from Friday afternoon all the way back again until Monday morning, so I feel like I haven't stopped yet.
Excellent. So you need rest?
Yes.
Good.
So there is a post-show nap in my future, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking forward very much to 10:01.
As am I.
Yeah.
Same reason.
I bet you are.
But I was not drunk thumbing with Rup tail tycles. Luke Robitaille Italis is...
He could cut out a couple of letters of his last
I'm
name.
Just
that's all
saying,
I'm saying.
He's your buddy. Learn how to spell his name. That's all I'm saying. The guy's got it right. When does your Kings season start?
Home season is the 18th, but they start in Europe. They play Philadelphia, I think, in Europe.
What?
One of their first games.
They're not playing Philadelphia
they
in
are.
Europe. Look at a schedule.
That's happening.
Open up a blog.
I will bet you $5 that's happening.
I know my Flyers start
I'll
this
bet you
Thursday,
$5 that's happening. Yes
this
or no?
Thursday, they're playing the Bruins.
Yes.
Here in the United States of America. I know what.
Well, it sounds like maybe, Ralph, you're talking about preseason and Kevin is talking about the first game that counts.
I'm talking about season.
Yeah, regular season.
Regular season.
Oh, all right. Is Muggs looking it up?
He's looking up the Sacramento Kings.
Looking up Sacramento Kings, so that's good.
I know how slowly he works the internet.
We got a basketball schedule that doesn't matter.
That's good. LA Kings!
Yeah, then you clicked on Sacramento Kings.
Move on.
Open up a blog.
If we wait for him, we will be here all day.
I'm sorry, my bad. All right, let's move on by giving away. I'm going to reward you for listening to that horrible segment of radio. I'm going to reward you with some passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Thing.
Yeah!
This is yet another version of a classic science fiction film. One of my favorites, by the way. John Carpenter did a great job with it with Kurt Russell back in the 80s. It's originally a classic horror film from the 50s, directed by Howard Hawks, who wasn't a guy who did a lot of sci-fi horror kind of films. So if you're a fan of this genre, you will know the answer to my trivia question. I'm going to make you work for these passes a little bit. I got three pairs of passes left to give away today to the red carpet world premiere of The Thing. All you need to tell me is the name of the actor who played the original Thing in the original movie, The Thing. Name the actor, 1-800-520-1067. He was an actor who later went on to much fame and recognition in another kind of role in another kind of genre. But this was one of his first big break roles. What actor played The Thing in the first The Thing?
Ryan Gosling.
It was not Ryan Gosling. 1-800-520-1067. First three people with the correct answer win a pair of passes. And by the way, if you want to see The Thing and you don't win, it's in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 14th. So you can check it out. Okay, did you find out when your team's playing? What's going on?
Well, we play the Flyers at Saturday, October 15th. I think they're still in Europe. I don't know.
No, I'm going to that game. I'm going to be in Philadelphia for the Kings-Flyers game.
All
in
right.
Philadelphia. And as far as I know, Philadelphia is not in Europe.
You should have bet
sounds
me.
Like Ralph, sounds like Ralph wins this
you
one.
You should have bet me when you had the choice.
But it does look like your Kings are playing the Rangers in Stockholm, Sweden.
That's correct, yes.
On Friday, October the 7th.
Yeah.
So you are starting your...
And then
your,
the Sabres in Berlin. I mean...
You are starting your series in Europe, it looks like.
All right. But not with...
But not with the Flyers.
Flyers.
Ah.
Should have bet.
Great stuff happening in the world of television. Finally, we are getting our beloved Arrested Development back.
Yes! This is the best
that's
news.
Such good news.
That's the word on the street from Mitch Hurwitz, who is the creator of that series. Of course, I've been talking about feature film for some time, but he realizes there's just too much story to tell. So they're going to get one abbreviated TV series of Arrested Development, which will lead us to the big screen motion picture version of that show. So that's great news for fans.
It's such great news. And don't you think it's going to be, I mean, maybe I'm just, it's wishful thinking here, but don't you think it's going to be a big hit on television when they show those new episodes?
I do. I think
a lot of, it's gained, as you mentioned earlier, it's gained so many more fans from DVD in the years since it's been off the air.
I don't know who's going to carry it, though. I wonder if it'll be IFC you know,
yeah.
they currently show the reruns, I believe. Maybe they'll have to make a deal because it's just going to be a one-off. It's not going to be something someone's going to put on their schedule regularly because they're just doing a short sort of recap season.
And Will Arnett already has an NBC show, if that's still on the air at the time. I wonder if there's going to be a conflict there.
Oh, why you got to come at Will Arnett, huh? Why do you have to be that, if it's still on the air? Why you got to come at him like that, huh?
Well, because I've seen it. But I'm just saying, if he's still doing his show on NBC, I wonder how they'll feel about him being in another show on another network at the same time. It's going to be weird.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Here's another classic series that's coming back 20 years after it first made a splash on British television. Absolutely Fabulous is the name of the show. I don't know if you ever watched Ab Fab, as they call it. But it was a very funny British series with Jennifer Saunders. And she is bringing those characters back for a couple specials on BBC in America and also on Logo. Because the gays love Ab Fab.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you ever watch Absolutely Fabulous? Very funny show.
I think my wife did. I don't remember.
Very entertaining.
There were two drunk women?
Yes.
Yeah.
Two rich, drunk women who were all consumed with themselves and fashion and that kind of stuff. And very, very funny, broad female characters. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Dolphin Tale came in number one. $14.2 million made it so. Moneyball came in at number two. $12.5 million. The Lion King in 3D was third. Then 50-50 came in at number four. Courageous was fifth at the box office this weekend. Dreamhouse, Abduction, What's Your Number, Contagion, and Killer Elite, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Walter was the first caller through with the correct answer. Walter?
Yes.
Who played The Thing in the original movie, The Thing?
James Arness.
James Arness is correct. For those who don't know who he is, he went on to star in Gunsmoke for over 20 years on television, played Marshal Matt Dillon on that show, but his first big break was as the creature, The Thing, in the movie. Congratulations, Walter. Hang on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to the red carpet world premiere of the latest version of The Thing.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations also to Nick and Jack. They're also going. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ashley Simpson Wentz is 27 years old today. Actress Shannon Sossaman is 33 years old. Sean William Scott turns 35. Nev Campbell's 38. Gwen Stefani of No Doubt is 42 years old today. Janelle Maloney, who was on The West Wing, remember her?
I love her so much.
42 years old today. Clive Owens, 47. Tommy Lee of Motley Crue is 49 years old.
If you mess with the bull, right. Get back on that horse.
All right, I will. And magician Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy is 67 years old today. 67.
Yeah.
Still pulling tiger teeth out of his stomach, and he's 67 years old.
Still is.
Very impressed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ten four. All right, we're supposed to do this at five after. This is close. This is close to five after. All
close
day long.
Enough.
From 5 to 5, we are giving away tickets for the Foo Fighters at the Forum, October 13th or 14th. Be caller 5 right now, 1-800-520-1067. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 808.
Thanks a lot for tuning in on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. TMZ.com's Harvey Levin joins us later on in the hour. By the way, talking about a Tupac sex tape. How timely.
What? Really?
How is somebody sitting on a Tupac sex tape for 15 years before they finally decide to release it?
Dude is prolific.
Yes, he is. So you thought he was just releasing albums for Beyond the Grave. No, sex tapes too. So that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Siciliano joins us next hour, recapping this weekend's NFL and also the start of the baseball playoffs, which I know you hate to say it, Kevin, but they have been awesome. Baseball playoffs so far have been awesome this year.
Right. Go
and
baseball.
Suddenly, we're rooting for the Tigers. All right, we're giving away those tickets that Kevin talked about, but then we'll clear the lines and open it up for this, because this is a fascinating topic. Ralph found this story about a woman who was unemployed, a successful 30-year-old. She was a bank assistant vice president at a bank, and she lost her job. But she knows how proud of her parents are, so she doesn't want them to know that she's now unemployed.
Oh, that's not good, because this is not exactly the market where you can go find another job and then break it to them.
Right.
Yeah. That's a great point. And by the way, I would think that in 2011 America, I don't think there's much shame in people who lose their jobs. I mean, every day you turn on the news, there's another company cutting, 30, 40, 50,000 jobs, right?
Right.
I mean, it's happening everywhere all over the place. I'm sure – I don't know anything about this woman. I'm guessing it wasn't her fault that she lost her job. It's just that's the times we live in.
Right.
But she knew how proud her folks were. She knew that they bragged about her all the time. Oh, my daughter's a vice president at a bank and whatnot. So she hasn't told them. So she's just looking for ways. She's living close to the poverty line. She's looking for ways she can raise money. She's out there babysitting and dog walking and selling possessions on eBay for cash and just doing everything she can to pay the rent so she doesn't have to tell them. So Ralph sent this article out, and he said, what's the biggest secret you've ever kept from your parents? And that, I think, is fascinating, because when you think about it, there's a lot of stuff you don't want to tell your parents about. Maybe you're not crazy about – maybe your parents wouldn't be delighted that you're pregnant, for instance. That's the type of thing that you may want to hold off on as long as possible, right?
Yeah, I would think so. But it also is something that – I mean, there is a timeline for that particular thing where it is going to become evident pretty quickly.
Yes. Yeah, I would imagine so. There are people who get married. They don't necessarily want to run to their parents instantly and tell them about it. Like when I made that phone call to my parents, they didn't even know I was dating anybody. I mean, I didn't wait too long, but I certainly could have, as one example.
Sure.
Maybe you're sick. Maybe you've moved. Maybe you've switched jobs. Maybe you're stripping. I mean, there's a lot of things that you maybe – a lot of things you don't necessarily want to tell your folks, right?
Yeah, this woman, though, CNN told them. So that helps.
Oh, that's good.
That's very helpful.
Really? That's how they...
Yeah. Oh,
how
yeah.
Sad
These people
that?
Were let go from the bank. They're like, hey, daughter, what about that whole vice president of the bank thing?
Wow.
Wouldn't I have heard something about that, you think, if my daughter had lost her job? So that's the topic on the table here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. I don't think we've ever done this before, but we are looking for you, and you can change your name or be anonymous if you want to. If you have kept a huge secret from your parents, we want to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. Maybe it's something they still don't know. Maybe it's something that eventually they found out from somebody else. Maybe it's something that eventually you had to break down and tell them. Alex, your parents know you work on this show, right?
Yeah, tragically they do. I can't. I can't keep the secret.
You can't hide that.
I was just reminded of an old college roommate of mine didn't want to tell her parents that she got divorced.
Divorce
sure. In their family is a very big deal. So she made a deal with her ex to please accompany her to Christmas dinner.
What?
He came with her to Christmas. They gave him presents. They still thought he was a son-in-law.
After the divorce?
Yes.
Oh,
they got divorced around
wow.
Halloween, and she was still trying to figure out how to tell her family. She just decided, I'm just going to not rip this Band-Aid. I'm going to keep it on as long as possible.
Did they make that deal for like the next 10 years?
Yeah. Well,
no, let me tell you how it got even more awkward. So her grandmother, unbeknownst to her,
bought the two of them as a couple for a Christmas present, matching plots in the family graveyard.
Oh, no!
So now,
which is really expensive.
It's very expensive. And mind you, they're in like their late 20s. They're not planning on, you know, being buried anywhere. But now he's got a grave in her family's plot area.
Oh,
and
dear God.
She said she nearly died from that. But that made me laugh. I was the worst friend because it showed that. And I fell over laughing.
Of course. That's very
funny.
This
is the funniest thing
ever. Did she have to tell him then? Did she finally say, hey?
Nope. They kept it going through that, through Christmas. And then she ended up telling them like in February. Like 2 months
I love
later.
That. How long had they been married, Alex?
Like 3 years.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering.
But they had been together all through end of high school, college, college.
They've been together forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just wondered if it was one of those deals where the parents had paid a tremendous amount for a wedding sometime in the past year. So you really want to put that, we're breaking up conversation off as long as possible.
Yeah, I think they were more pissed about the plots than the wedding.
That is a fantastic example of what we're looking for. The biggest secret you've ever kept from your parents. It could be a marriage thing. It could be a baby thing. It could be a job thing. Whatever it is, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to clear the lines. Take your calls coming up next right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Oh, this is going to be fun and potentially disastrous if your parents are listening. So,
a lot of liars.
Tell us. Yeah, that's right. They're just making it up. Tell us what your secret is that you are keeping or have kept from your parents. The story that started it is a woman who's a vice president of a bank, lost her job, won't tell her parents until they found out about it on the news. But those are the kinds of stories we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. You know what's interesting? Lisa and I were talking about during the record, and I guess this has got to be pretty, pretty common, but I don't see anyone calling with this. People that are gay would be a secret, I imagine, would be fairly often kept from your parents, right?
Yeah, I guess so, but yeah.
Hopefully more, you know, not so much anymore,
right.
But I'm sure there have been people who have done that. But let's see what kind of stuff people are not telling their folks. Why don't we start with John? He is on line 4 to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. Thanks for hanging on. What's going on, dude?
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So it started with a DUI. I try to keep that from them, but, you know, after a week in jail and everyone trying to get a hold of you, no one can.
So that seems difficult.
That kind of blew over.
Yeah.
But anyway, I came back to town and started dating a porn star and actually doing porn myself. So I never told them about that. They still don't know. They knew that she was a porn star. I ended up copping that up, but not as far as...
Well, your dad, Rick. Whoa, watch your language, dude.
That she was a model for the longest time, and it wasn't until about 6 months after we broke up that he's like, hey, did she do that? I think I saw her in a cover once.
Wow, that's funny. Now, how would they react to you doing porn if you had told them?
Oh, they'd be very happy.
You know, I'm sure they wouldn't be. They're pretty open people, but I'm not even going to test the water, so.
Can we call them?
Yeah. No, okay.
Thank you for the call, man. We appreciate it. Let's try Susie, line 3. This sounds like a great deception. Hi, Susie. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Susie.
What did you not tell your parents, or what did you lie about?
Well, it was a week after I turned 18. Me and my boyfriend at the time went to Vegas, got married, went home. He went back to his mom and dad's house. I went back to my mom and dad's house. We kept the secret for 2 years. And the only reason why I had to tell him was because I got pregnant. And I did not tell that one even voluntarily. My mom noticed I was gaining weight. And she asked me, and I had to tell her.
Honey, I can't help but notice you're getting fat.
What were you, like 12? Why did you keep it a secret?
I just turned 18.
Right.
So for 2 years, you lived with your parents and he lived with his parents, yet you were married.
Yes.
Now, at the 1 year anniversary mark, did either of you go, hey, maybe we should tell him
and move in together?
Nope.
Okay.
And my parents are Asian and they're very, very, very strict. I couldn't even spend the night at anyone's house at 19.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
This is amazing. Now, could you have afforded to live together if you had wanted to?
Yes.
Wow. Well, then I don't understand. I don't get this one.
And he's 11 years older than I am, and it was okay for him to tell his parents. I'm really not sure until this day why he didn't tell his parents. I think it was just because I was so young.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you guys still together?
Yes, 10 years. 10 years and two boys.
Would you still be living with your parents and separate lives had you not gotten pregnant?
You know... Maybe.
That's scary. That is awesome, Susie. Thank you for the call. All right, let's go to line six now. I don't think you guys are going to believe Jennifer's story, but we're talking about things you keep from your parents. Jennifer, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
What did you do?
Not nearly as dramatic as those guys, but I wanted to go to Russia. It's Soviet Union, and I was graduating from college, and I wanted my folks to give me the money because, of course, I had no money.
Right.
Mom decided, okay, I'm going to give you the money, and I'll tell you, just go because Dad says no. I'll give you the money. You go, and while you're gone, I'll tell your dad. So I'm a sucker, and I take this because I really want to go.
So you and your mom are conspiring against Dad, and you think it's going to be handled while you're gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a no-lose here for me, right?
Sure.
I get what I want. I get the money, and
right.
I get to go.
Right.
And mom has to deal with the bad news.
Sure.
So while I'm over there, Iraq invades Kuwait, so it looks like the war is going to break out and all this stuff. So mom loses her nerve and doesn't tell him. I come home with, like, 12 rolls of film, two suitcases full of, like, all this stuff for my dad, and I'm wanting to tell him. And mom, I get off the plane, and mom's just, like, making the signal, like, no, no. So to this day, this was 20 years ago, my dad has no idea.
What?
You know? I think he could handle it now, though.
How do you not tell him 10 years afterwards?
Well, here's the thing. The whole rest of the family knows, too. There's no way we could tell him now. Are you kidding? I'm not sure he would divorce my mom. I think he would kill my mom.
Oh, wow.
That's funny.
Well,
yeah, so you have to worry, like, nobody's going to blurt it out at a Christmas event or something, you know?
Yes, that's too tough to keep a secret like that for that long with that many people in on it, too. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Baron. Let's get into a new area here of jobs that you have that you don't want your parents to know about. He's online, too. Hi, Baron. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin Bean, Ralph, Lisa.
Hi.
Good morning. You didn't intro me, but I'm actually the leader and organizer of one of the largest fetish kink support communities in the Central Coast.
Okay. And your parents don't know about that?
Not a clue. They say, hey, where are you going tonight? I'm like, I'm going to go out and play Dungeons and Dragons.
So your parents are telling all their friends, I don't know what's going on with my boy, but he is the biggest dork in the world. And they have no idea that you are the biggest dork in the world, but that you're wearing leather instead.
Exactly, sir.
All right.
Do you have, do they have any idea that you're into fetishism at all? Or do they just think it's all, you know, regular straight up for you?
I think they may have realized that I bring a lot of friends over that make a lot of weird noises, but I don't. You know, they haven't said, hey, why are you carrying around whips? Not yet.
have they seen you with whips? Are they?
No, but they have seen me with my my stockade. But that was around Ren Faire time, so I had an excuse for that as well.
Wow. Your parents are better and better. Are not going to ever be proud of you, Baron. You just have to accept that. Doesn't matter what you tell them. All right. Thank you for the call. We're running out of time. Can we squeeze Tom in? Tom sounds like he might not only have hid something from his parents, but committed some sort of a felony as well. Hi, Tom.
Hi. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hi. Good.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What'd you do?
Okay, so I was babysitting my niece for my parents, and these people called up from an organization called What's Next California.
Right.
And what happened was that they were giving the residents of the house a free trip to Torrance. Also, they're going to pay for their room, their meals.
Wait, the trip was to Torrance?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Southern California. That was the big trip?
Yes, it was in Southern California.
Who wins a trip that's 100 miles away from where you live?
Hey, well, let me finish. They also gave me $300 at the end of the trip for going to this delegation thing.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you? You said your parents.
Well, they were giving the residents. So I pretended to be one of the residents at the home, uh-huh. And I took the trip from them.
Okay.
And
I would imagine they would be grateful.
Yeah, no kidding. This is like one of those deals where you go somewhere and they give you a free thing at the end of a seminar, right? Or listening to a real estate investment speech or something like that. These are terrible. You did your parents a favor by taking that from them.
Not really, because like I said, I got $300.
Yeah.
I also got free booze
right.
for it. And a free room. I mean, it was at the Residence Inn. I mean, it was totally cool.
Oh, I didn't know it was that high end.
Well, hey, like I said.
I didn't know it was at the Residence Inn. I apologize. No, your parents are so sad now.
Hey, well, they don't know about this. Well, so, you know, like I said, I pretty much took the money from them.
All right, don't tell them. It'll break their hearts if they know they missed a big weekend in Torrance.
What? I could have gone to Torrance?
Speaking of Blink-182, I think they played the Honda Center over the weekend. There's just a whole grip load of photographs from that show, photo gallery at kevinandbean.com. If you weren't there or were and want to relive the memories, by all accounts, a phenomenal show they're putting on this time around, too, by the way. Andrea Siciliano joins us after the top of the hour, recapping this past weekend's football action and talking about the baseball playoffs in progress. Right now, though, let's go to the newsroom at TMZ.com. No Harvey, no Dax. How about Mike Walters on the phone, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Kevin DeBeek Show? Hey, Mike,
hey,
how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. Let me guess. You're wearing a black T-shirt.
I am wearing a black T-shirt, 100%. Yeah.
How did you know that? That's crazy.
Mike has a uniform, I'll tell you that. He does not have to spend much time in the morning deciding what to wear in the morning. Right?
I actually have a seven-week-old son now, and he wears a black T-shirt.
All right. So. Well, of course he does.
Of course
he does. I don't know where you want to start, Mike, but the most exciting thing for me is the hilarious description at TMZ.com of the Tupac sex tape. Tell people about that who maybe haven't heard it yet.
Well, I had the pleasure of actually getting to see this. I was the only one here at TMZ that got to watch the five-minute tape. It was shot in 1991, and so I sit down at the computer to start watching it, and yeah. This is how it starts. Tupac runs into the room. It's in like a house party, and there's people like drinking out of red cups and like standing around. And he runs in. You know, have you ever gotten off the toilet and ran with your pants around your ankles and you kind of waddle?
Sure.
That's what he does. He's got no shirt on. He's got his pants around his ankles.
Okay.
He runs into the room, so you see the backside of him. He goes up to a group of girls and starts like talking to them. And then it looks, you can't hear, but it looks like he's saying, okay, which one of you is going to do it? And then he backs away. The girl drops down in the living room, and how do I say this on the radio?
You don't have to say anything. Okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So that starts. My favorite part, because I'm a huge Tupac fan, is all of a sudden an unreleased Tupac track starts playing in the background on the stereo. And Tupac starts dancing and rapping his own lyrics as the sexual act continues. He's got a blunt in one hand, a cocktail in the other.
Wow.
And dancing and wiggling his hips, if you can imagine how that'll look, with his pants around his ankles. And people are still walking around in the room at the house party.
They're just hanging out like this is just normal every day?
That's what I'm saying. And he's like dancing like that, and just totally partying. And everyone just like kind of walking. A couple people stop and look, but they just keep going. It is unbelievable. And then at the very end, he kind of like walks around like he's going to move positions. And he starts jumping up and down. And if you can imagine what a man looks like
sure.
when they jump up and down.
Yes.
Oh, that my starts God. Flapping back and forth, bang, bang, bang.
Okay.
He's the greatest multitasker in music history, isn't he?
No, the only thing that would have made the tape better is if like Snoop Dogg walked in and like took the blunt from him and smoked it. But besides
right.
that, it was like perfect. Like, there now, couldn't have been any better.
Mike, were you watching it because somebody is trying to sell it or what?
Yes, I went because I was contacted that the person who had this tape wants to sell it, and so they sort of wanted to say, okay, well, you can take a look at it and do a news story on it, and then, you know, I guess test the market. And
right.
You know, there's a bunch of issues with the tape, one being the girl, no one knows who that is, she'd have to sign off on it to release it. The other thing is Tupac's famous, so there would be some issues with right of publicity and image, but the reality is here, I don't think it'll ever see the light of day. I don't know that, but I got to tell you guys, it should. Like this.
It sounds hilarious, but
YouTube clips of the year.
But Mike, you talked to this guy, and this is what we were asking earlier. Who has a tape like this of someone famous and hangs on to it for 20 years?
You know, I got the vibe that the people around Tupac at the time and even now thought this was normal. Like, you see, okay, for instance, in the video, you guys know Digital Underground, right?
Yeah, of course.
Hump.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Money B, the smaller guy that doesn't wear the nose in Digital Underground,
right.
walks into frame at one point, and Tupac puts his arm around him, and they both just stare at the girl for, like, 2 minutes. And they both have casual conversation in the middle of the whole sexual
Did you make episode. A copy of this so that we can see it?
No,
Mike!
I did. I know. It's news, you know. At some point, I have to become a journalist.
No, you don't. No.
Come on.
But no, it's like they have casual conversation in the middle of it. So I feel like they thought this was normal. Like,
of course.
That's hilarious.
And so 20 years later, in the age of sex tapes that are making a ton of money, I mean, you know, the Paris Hilton sex tape is like the highest grossing porno film of all time.
Right.
So then finally people realize, wait a minute, that might be worth money. I should break that out of the box or the high eight tape or whatever it is. But I'm telling you, this is one of those videos where everyone should see it. Like, I
wish. Hey, we would love to, but certain people had to be journalists.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's certain things you're just going to have to take my word for.
Listen, we're almost out of time, Mike, and I know you're very busy. This is the voice of Mike Walters from the TMZ newsroom, who, by the way, fancy schmancy title. Are you really the news director over there?
You know, I have been the entire time since day one.
Because Harvey is hogging all the publicity, my friend.
I was going to say, Harvey's a man. I follow behind the big man. But,
all right. Let me just ask you one non-Tupac related question, just because America seems to be fascinated with this Dr. Conrad Murray trial. How do you think it is going so far? Of course, so far it's only been the prosecution's case, but how does it look for Dr. Murray? I think he looks super sunk at this point, just on the stuff I've already seen. What about you?
I agree 100%. I said the whole time, and I worked on this story the entire time, and I think that at a point they'll plea deal this case, which, you know, basically means, for everyone that doesn't follow legal news, in the middle of it, he's going to give up. He's going to say, you know what, I'm going to lose this, and the maximum he's going to get is 4 years in jail in
prison.
So I think he's going to go, you know what, I'll take 2.5. Like,
yeah,
I'm
at some point,
he's
going to be sitting there going, I'm convinced I'm guilty now, having heard this evidence.
Yeah. I was going to say, at a point, he's just going to go, Judge, can I talk? Take me to jail.
Now, today, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to put on the stand one of the girlfriends that was talking to him on the phone when he dropped it and ran into.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? How many girlfriends did Conrad Murray have?
Feel like
there's
eight.
Like four of them on the stand. I go, which one's his actual girlfriend?
Yeah,
I mean,
none.
There's four of them. I don't understand. But yeah, this woman was on the phone with him when he was supposed to be watching Michael Jackson under anesthesia, which is also bad. But he was supposed to be paying attention. He's flirting with his girlfriend on the phone in Houston, Texas, and all of a sudden he drops the phone, and this is the girl who was actually on the phone when everything went
down. Yeah, it is not looking good. Tremendous coverage at TMZ.com, of course. You can check your local listings for the TMZ television show on in your area. And when in Hollywood, take the TMZ Hollywood tour as well. Mike, great to catch up with you on the Kevin Bean Show, man. Thanks for coming
on. You got it, guys. Later.
Andrew Siciliano from the DirecTV Red Zone channel joins us coming up next year on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Just a real quick programming note. I know a lot of Castle fans were tuning in hoping to hear our interview with John Huertas.
I think it went
today.
Well. How do you think it went?
Less than well.
Oh.
I just got off the phone with John. He's in the hospital. He had a bad case of food poisoning. He's been there
I've used that one.
Since 4 a.m. So. Trust me.
I've had that one.
John is he's a vet. He's been through Desert Storm. He's one of the toughest guys I know. If he could have been here, he would have been here. But we'll try to reschedule with him. He's not doing so well, but he's going to be okay. He's already feeling better, and just wanted to give everybody the heads up. So that's why.
Feeling better because he dodged the Kevin and Bean bullet.
Yeah, well, look, he's smart. I wish I could have been that smart, but no, look at me. I got bean shrapnel all through my body. I'll never be the same. I want to give you a heads up as well that tonight, brand new castle. Brand new castle also, but also brand new house. House returns tonight. Very excited for that. Lori in prison. I don't want to say anything, but I heard there's a picking up the soap scene. That's all I care
is that
about.
Right?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. It is Monday. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Dolphin Tale, $14.2 million, made it number one at the box office. Moneyball was second with $12.5 million. Then Lion King in 3D. 50-50 was fourth. Courageous. And those new religious films. Fifth at the box office. No press, no nothing, just word of mouth, just leaflets at churches, and I think they put a big bat signal in the sky or something, and everyone goes a-running. So they know how to sell a film. Dreamhouse was sixth, Abduction was seventh. What's Your Number? Eighth. Contagion was ninth, and Killer Elite was tenth. Speaking of religion, see Dexter last night?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not any church I want to join. Keep your snakes to yourself, Edward James Olmos.
I don't know what Hammer Time is.
He found out. He came up with Hammer Time later on in the episode.
Not to give anything away. Sorry.
No, not at all. Oh, Kurt Russell, one of my favorite actors. He is got a new job. Just joined Quentin Tarantino's new film, Django Unchained. Film of a
but a slave who goes back to the plantation owner that was holding him, trying to save his mate.
How do you think that's going to go for the plantation owner?
Not so well. Leonardo DiCaprio is starring as the plantation owner, but he's the bad guy in the film. Kevin Costner was supposed to star in that film, but had to back out due to a conflict. And so Kurt Russell got the nod, and he's going
to
be taking over.
To step up, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Of course, those guys worked together before in Grindhouse. Remember, he was was the stuntman who drove the Deathmobile.
Sure.
Did a great job in that, so congratulations to him. Arrested Development's coming back to television and to the movie theaters.
It's the best news ever.
Creator Mitch Hurwitz was talking this weekend at the New Yorker Festival and said that while he was writing the screenplay for the long-awaited feature film of the Arrested Development story and the cast, he realized there was just too much to cover, so he is writing one final season for the TV series that will lead organically into the big screen version. So we get more Arrested Development than we were even hoping for.
Ralph, you're the television expert on this program.
Nope.
Can you ever remember a show? I mean, Family Guy famously was off the air for a couple years before it came back, but can you ever remember a show that came back in its original incarnation with the same actors years after it was canceled, like this one? This has been, it will be 5 years when it gets back on the air since it had left.
Let me think.
Just doesn't seem like this happens very often. A lot of reboots, a lot of remakes, you know, sequels. But in terms of the original show being canceled and coming back years later, I can't remember another time where this has happened.
There have been TV specials where shows have come back. The cast and crew are reunited for TV movies on popular TV series. But I can't remember a regular series coming back with regular episodes. No, I can't.
Well, Arrested Development deserves it. It was a tragedy that thing only lasted 3 seasons first time around.
Gene Simmons got married this weekend to his longtime girlfriend, Shannon Tweed.
You liar!
After 28 years. Why so soon?
Liar!
They've got 2 kids, of course.
Do you think they just did it for ratings?
That were present?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Really?
I think Gene probably thought it was time and maybe it was something they had talked about and thought about, and so they decided to do it. I do think, though, that the whole charade of them almost breaking up and her saying, what are you doing, and storming out, and then, I don't know, I think we're going to break up, and then, the engagement episode, I think that was all played out for ratings, yeah. But I don't think they would have gotten married unless they had plans to do so otherwise. I'm sure they probably got a little pressure from their kids, too, because their kids have wanted it for a long time, but finally did it. 62-year-old Gene Simmons finally getting married. Now that the penis doesn't work anymore, he's got no use for it. He's
figured out how to get married then.
Yeah, why not?
Used it all up.
And after 28 years, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, since we were just talking about him, they have no plans on getting married. She was just talking to a reporter this week, and they asked the same old question, which is, when are you two going to get married? And she said,
when will they stop asking that question?
We've got a great relationship. There's nothing wrong. No problems. Why would we change it? There's really no reason to change it. So after 28 years, Gene Simmons gets married, but after another 28, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell said, they shan't be.
We good.
Why does that bug people so much that a couple refuses to get married?
I don't know.
I don't know. You think at some point you just go, okay, they're not going to be married. Let's move on.
Hey, it works for them. Why do I care?
I think for lazy journalists particularly, it is an easy question to ask. It's an easy thing to hang your hat on.
Sure.
Because it is
the one thing you know about them.
Right, and it's not the norm.
Yeah.
And I guess you think, you know, if you're interviewing Goldie Hawn, you're going to bring that up because it is unusual. People usually don't date for 28 years.
But asked and answered at this point.
Yeah, really. Like I said, it's lazy journalism. But yeah. Certainly, you're not going to get an exclusive. You're not going to get a breaking story out of him by asking that question. Today's celebrity birthdays. Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy is 67 years old today. He was the one who had that wrestling match with Montecor. Remember that?
Yeah. The winner?
I believe it was Montecor. Yeah.
He's 1-0, Montecor, right?
He is 1-0. Yeah.
Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac, he's 62 years old today. Tommy Lee of Motley Crue fame.
When life throws you a curveball, lemonade.
He is 49 years old today. Actor Clive Owen can currently be seen in Killer Elite. He is 47 years old. Gwen Stefani of No Doubt fame is 42.
You can't say she's in No Doubt anymore.
Well, she is.
She is in No Doubt.
She used to be in No Doubt.
No, they're No Doubt. They're working now on music.
Right.
It's coming slowly, but
currently working on No Doubt music.
Any minute now.
And in fact, Gwen has famously said now that she did the solo thing. She went off and did that for a while. That's it for that part of her career. She's back in No Doubt, and this will be what she's going to focus on for the remainder of her musical career. So she's very much in No Doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Just saying.
Just
saying. Put
it's
it
been
out.
10 years.
Give us a song.
Neve Campbell's 38 years old today. She, of course, is in Party of Five. She is. She's in Party of Five.
Still?
They're currently working on new television right
what?
Now. I'm kidding. Oh. Jeez, you people. Nobody gets me. Sean William Scott's 35. Shannon Sussman. She is 33 years old. And Ashley Simpson Wentz. Is she still Wentz?
I don't think so.
No, I think they're divorced now.
Yeah, so let's take the Wentz. Let me just make a note here.
Take the whole thing off if you want.
She's 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every hour on the fives. And by on the fives.
You mean on the eights?
I mean whenever we get to it.
Yeah.
Between 5 and 5, you get tickets for the Foo Fighters at the Forum October 13th or 14th. Be caller 5 right now, 1-800-520-1067. It is 908.
You are listening to the Kevin Mead Show on a Monday, 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. You see him on the NFL Network with Total Access. And then, of course, Sundays, Andrew Siciliano owns our asses, DirecTV Red Zone. He joins us in studio here on the Kevin Mead Show. How are you, Andrew?
Wow, that is an odd way to describe my job, but thank you.
Yeah,
wow.
I didn't realize that my ass was owned, but okay.
And what does that ownership get me? Do I get title and tags for that? How does that work?
Whatever you want, big
okay,
boy.
Thank you.
I think it's all you access with me.
Yeah. Total access. Total access.
You get a laminate and you get to go, you go to the locker. Room.
Do I have to have that insured before I can get on the road?
You didn't already give away all your pithy observations to the mighty Sports 10 610 in Houston this morning. You saved something for us, right?
I don't know if there's any pith or any voice left, to be honest with you. But we'll do our best.
You're working too hard, Andrew. That's
you know
the
what
problem.
It is. I
know you got to make hay. Got to make hay where the sun shines, but you need to relax a little bit.
I woke up yesterday with one of those. Oh boy, I have a cold developing.
Oh, that's
kind
so
of deals.
You know when you can feel it coming
it's
on?
Just there.
Yep.
And so you pound the orange juice and the cold medication, and then you go in. And then at night, hey, I feel fine. Hey, no, I beat it. And then you mm-hmm. wake up again the next morning.
There's
and,
no
hey,
beating it.
Yeah. I'm back.
There's no
better
beating
than
it.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in. We appreciate
thanks
it.
For no, being here anyway. We appreciate it. Where do you want to start yesterday? Every week is another exciting week of NFL football. Where do you want to start? What did you love?
Where do you guys want to start? I mean, we can start with the Raiders. I mean, they had a huge, I hate to use the cliche statement game, but they had the Patriots coming to town, and the Patriots just beat them up.
Yeah.
Just flat out beat them up. I think the Raiders can still do fine. And I think they could fight for a wild card, but they came in and beat them up. And the, here's an, I mean, this is not, well, for gamblers or from whomever. Since I think 02 or 03, the Patriots now are 26-2 after a loss.
They so get whatever, angry about it. They get angry they get and they beat up the next team for it.
Whatever Bill Belichick does, it works.
It works, yeah.
26-2 after a loss. And they came in with the number 32 defense in the NFL.
Wow.
I mean, think about that.
That's wow.
32, the worst statistical defense in the NFL. And they gave up the yardage, but you know they still beat up the Raiders.
When Brady's on, lost. When he is just making his point like he was yesterday, it doesn't matter what their defense does.
It doesn't matter. And the guy is still on, I think he's still on pace to break Dan Marino's record. There were four or five quarterbacks through 3 weeks that were on pace to break Dan Marino's 5,000-plus yards in a season. Brady actually took a step back in terms of his yardage yesterday, but he still lit him up overall.
Yeah. They were running the ball better
and
than
they were
I'd
running the ball,
in a long time.
Exactly, which they have not done in a while. So I think he's still on pace. And anyone who thought that the Patriots all of a sudden back down to earth because they lost to the Bills, they have their major deficiencies, but they'll still be there at the end.
Yeah.
Is Green Bay undefeated?
Yep.
Green Bay is undefeated, and the Lions are undefeated.
And the Lions are, yes.
In the same division, the NFC North. They're 4-0.
Wow.
I'm really enjoying the Lions story. It's kind of the feel-good story of the season, I think.
They have been down. Well, last week, what, Ralph? They were down 20 in the second half to
only
the Vikings.
20?
This week, they were down 24 on the road to the Cowboys, who aren't that good, but they're good enough to hold a 24-point lead at home.
Most teams are.
And so if you want to look at the week ahead in terms of the drama, there'll be all this hype over the Lions, certainly. They're 4-0, and yay for the Lions. And it is a great story.
And it's the Bears next week for them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys, because you know we love drama, right? And the NFL is the greatest week-to-week reality show there is on Earth.
I agree.
Period. So you have the Cowboys now off that Monday night game in which they're lifting Romo off the carpet, partially punctured lung or collapsed lung, whatever the heck it was. He's got broken ribs. He's making faces. He could barely breathe on the podium after the game. You got guys saying, that's my quarterback afterwards, right? I mean, this is Dallas, right? And then they lose a 24-point lead. There's a video that purportedly shows Tony Romo flicking Jerry Jones aside on the sideline. Not flicking off, but like throwing him aside as Jones tried to pat him on the shoulder with still time left on the clock. So, I mean, you thought the drama was good.
Sweet.
Wait until we crank up the hype machine on the drama this week. But
for a long-suffering team like the Lions, 2-4-0, to come back as strong as they have with that young quarterback and everything, it really sort of is fun to watch.
And he's from Dallas, too.
Yeah, I know.
So Matthew
well.
Stafford
oh, no
went
kidding.
Home. He actually played a bunch of high school games in the old stadium, and now he's in the new stadium. And look, this team a couple of years ago went 0-16. You know how hard that is to do?
Yeah.
They went 0-16 and had Dan Orlovsky, their quarterback, attempt to throw a pass 2 steps out of the back of the end zone. He didn't realize that he had run out of bounds, and he was standing there out of bounds for safety and attempted to throw a pass.
Yeah.
That's how bad they were.
Can we even imagine what the pressure is like to be a quarterback in a football crazy city, especially one like Dallas? What's Tony Romo's life like today? Can he even walk out of his house?
No, he can. He never can.
And miserable,
look,
right?
Remember, he had Jessica Simpson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was that whole go to Cabo thing the week before the playoffs a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He is now he's married Chase Crawford's sister.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a local newscaster or was. I don't know if he's still on the air. So he is, if you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know that there is another position in football that puts you on more of a pedestal. You can argue that whatever town you're in, Chicago or Boston or New York, maybe Mark Sanchez for the Jets.
Yeah, maybe.
But difference Dallas is the Jets have a defense, although it didn't show last night or last week, that's good enough to cover up for Mark Sanchez. The Cowboys, at times they do. He is. Everything goes on his shoulders one way or the other. And last Tuesday morning, he was a hero. Because not only did he play through all that pain, but he has wide receivers that had never played before. So he's out there telling people where to stand. Not where to run. Literally, where to stand before the play.
Sweet.
And now
it's like it used to be in high school. What's going on with that?
That's what
it's
it was last week.
Honestly.
It's what it was. You stand here and you stand here, and when I get the football, you run over there.
I saw him with a stick drawing plays in the dirt. That's what I saw him doing last week. He was
on the field turf. That's how much of a genius
that's
he is.
Right. Go to the car on the end and make a right
at that fire hydrant.
Go to Jerry's Maybach, turn right, and then catch the ball when I throw it to you.
Yeah.
And there's somewhat of a
we
mess.
Just watched the video here on the screen, and it is he does definitely jerk his arm out of Jerry Jones's hand. Jerry's trying to stop him to talk to him, and he yanks his arm away and keeps walking past
it
Jerry.
Will be the most analyzed 2 seconds of video
I love
all
it.
Week
I love that kind of crap. I'm so glad it's happening to Dallas. I don't know why. I just,
is a guy like Jerry Jones, is he doesn't help his team when he tries to get involved?
He
does
should never be on the sidelines.
He's
like
the
that.
Team president. He is as involved with player acquisition than any other owner in the NFL.
Okay, fine. But he doesn't need to be down on the sideline.
Down on the sideline. That's what there are other owners that are on the sideline for the fourth quarter. He's not the only one.
I like the owners that are up in the booth watching it from up there. Those are the owners that I think are doing their players a service, right?
Yeah, get the hell out of the way.
There are teams whose owners don't show up all 17 weeks, or 16 weeks, I'm sorry. And then there's Jerry, and there's Arthur Blank's always down there for the fourth quarter in Atlanta as well, but he's not seen it anyway as a meddling owner.
Right.
He has a personnel guy in Thomas Dimitroff. Jerry Jones is the owner, the president, the G. I mean, he is everything. He every possible aspect of that organization. So it all goes on him, and he invites it. So I mean, he's the only owner out there giving injury updates early in the week as to whether or not guys are going to practice on Wednesday. No seriousness.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
That's crazy.
So it all goes back on him, the win, the loss, the everything.
The voice of Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, DirecTV Red Zone through the NFL season on Sundays, and then Total Access on the NFL Network every afternoon starting at 4. We'll take a break. We have many more games, including you need to break down the 49ers Seattle for me. Tell me what went so horribly wrong there, and I'm sure Ralph has some questions about his beloved Eagles as well. We return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Our friend Andrew Siciliano in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, host of the DirecTV Red Zone on Sundays, NFL Network Total Access Monday through Thursday, and he's brought his monkey flu in here to share with all of his friends. I appreciate that.
It is not monkey flu, to
how do
my
you
knowledge.
Know?
Granted, I've not been around. You know what? It is monkey flu.
Could believe
it
could
is.
Be.
It's orangutan flu. I have no idea what it is. I'm going to pass it on to all of you guys. It's a weakening of the voice. It's a little bit of congestion, and then
Well, if that's all it is.
I wouldn't have worn your wide receiver glove if I had known it was tainted with
infection. I brought in the pink because, you know, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Right. Right. A critical catch. The NFL had players with the pink shoes.
Saw the shoes. And saw the shoestrings. The
wristbands. The
gloves. The towels. All that. So I brought in one of the pink gloves. Actually, I meant to bring in two. One of the other pink gloves, I think, fell out of my pocket. So the coffee bean at Santa Monica and Sepulveda, if anyone finds a pink glove there on the floor.
That's an NFL glove.
It's mine. It's a pink Nike NFL glove. And I brought it in to show you how sticky it is.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, these things are tacky.
It really is. You could
reach up, catch
with those.
Yeah. It's almost like, how do you not catch with those?
Which leads me to ask why Jeremy Maclin dropped the football
yesterday for the Eagles. Wearing nine pairs of those gloves, which apparently is what he needed. He needed them all over his body.
Was he wearing the pink ones? I don't know.
I don't think he was.
Yeah.
But he was carrying the ball like a loaf of bread, that's for sure.
That sucks. Don't they all wear whatever they can get away with, I would imagine?
Yes, they do. They do.
I mean, that really
is sticky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the pink goes with almost no colors on any uniform.
It's a bad look.
It's a terrible contrast. All right. Speaking of.
Wait, back up. You don't think it looked good?
No.
No.
Hideous.
It's
the pink shoes.
Offensive
and pink
to the
bands,
eye.
And it looked horrible. It looked like a CFL game
you
out there.
You can't do it for one day.
I thought it was a good cause. I thought it was a.
It is a good
nice
cause.
How much more aware of breast cancer do we need to be? We all know it. It's there and it sucks. We got it.
It's a good effort. You're not going to be the anti-breast cancer.
No,
awareness
I am anti-breast cancer,
are you?
Sir. Yes, I'm anti-breast cancer.
I'm anti-breast cancer too. My mother's a survivor. Thank God she's still here.
There
but,
we go.
Yeah, but
no. The one thing I do like is that they do auction off all those horrible-looking pieces afterwards at NFL.com/auction. You can bid on that stuff. It's game worn and it raises a lot of money. Oh,
I didn't even know that website. That's very good.
You're
very welcome.
Unless you consider wearing another red zone set yesterday, game worn.
I don't think so.
This is not game.
All right, Andrew, talk to me about what's going on in Philadelphia. And the reason the eyes of the nation are on Philadelphia is because they were the sexy preseason pick to win it all. It has not worked out so far for them this year. And yesterday, not at all Michael Vick's fault. What went wrong?
Well, Michael Vick had a great game. He had a career high in passing yardage. He ran for 75 yards. I don't know if you noticed, Ralph. You know, he re-injured the middle finger on his throwing hand. Injured for the first time. There was a follow-through. He hit the hand of Justin Smith, so that hand is now jacked up. So
now he's got both hands?
Injury watch on both hands.
Yeah.
Now,
that's rough.
Listen, they went out and they signed everything that wasn't nailed down. And they built this great team, or what we thought was going to be a great team, but they still had some issues. Linebacker, most notably.
Yes.
They can't stop the run. They have an issue with their offensive line. And if you can't protect Michael Vick, look, that first touchdown he threw, where he ducked out of three sacks.
By the way, he can duck out of pressure almost better than anyone on the planet.
He's not a big dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6 foot tall. He's not 6'5".
He's quick.
Cam Newton is 6'5 and 230 pounds and a chiseled statue. Michael Vick's a little dude.
He is.
He's a little dude.
But he's
not as small as DeSean Jackson, but he's a little guy. So, I mean, he could duck out of things, and he threw that first quarter touchdown, which looked fantastic. But if they can't protect him, if he's going to take a pounding as he did again yesterday, that team's in trouble, and they blew a lead. Like, they should not have lost that game. I don't care how improved the Niners are.
Yeah.
And Jim Harbaugh gets all the credit in the world. You cannot lose that game. And now you have them at 1-3, and Philadelphia eats its young. Like, I need to tell you that.
Yeah.
No. That city is going to start eating away team, and it could get ugly.
Well, here's the thing, and I said it could. When they had the spectacular offseason they were saying during free agency pickups and everything. It's great to get those guys, and it's great to get that talent, but if they don't play together, and if they don't mesh, if they don't get to know each other, and the chemistry isn't developed, it's going to be a struggle, and that's what I think it's turned out to be. You have all these disparate parts from all these other teams pulled together, and they really haven't played together all that much with the lockout and everything else. So I think if they do, you know, they're not going to have a lot of time to get their act together.
The worst thing that could have happened, although this wouldn't make 1-3 any more palpable, is Vince Young calling it a dream team.
Yeah. And I hate when they say in the press, the self-proclaimed dream team. It's like one guy said it, who's not even playing, you know.
One guy who had been there one day. Yeah, it was his first day there.
Just an ass.
Vince Young shows up, and it was seemingly harmless at the time.
Yeah. At the time, right.
At the time. But I remember I was at NFL Network. It was actually my first day at NFL Network. And we're standing there. I'm standing there. We're doing the press conference live. And I think Scott Hansen, NFL Network reporter, asked it, and Vince Young said it, and I remember standing there going, uh-oh. And you knew immediately there would be T-shirts, and I don't know if there have been. Someone, I hope, made a dollar.
I haven't seen any. I don't know.
You know, with licensing, it's probably hard to do, but you also knew that if things went
Don't they coach those guys? Don't they coach those guys about PR, about TV, about reporters,
bulletin
about
board
what
material?
To say?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if Vince Young has been coached on PR, I've never seen
it. He's a loose cannon, always has been.
In our remaining moments, Mr. Siciliano, what was the controversy out of the Giants win last night?
The controversy? You mean the Jets win or the Giants? No.
The Giants. Was there a fumble, a bad call, or something that everybody was boo-hooing about, saying they handed the game to the Giants and whatnot?
Yes. Here's what was happening. All right, so the Giants are driving to potentially rally and win the game on the road in Arizona, the same building where they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So they throw a pass to Victor Cruz. He's in there because there are a lot of injuries, and he got a first down, and then he kind of fell to the ground. And he put the ball down and got up, except no one had tagged him.
Right.
So technically, that's a live football. Arizona picked it up, said our ball. However, Jerome Boger, the referee, said, he was down. The Giants said, or the Cardinals said, well, let me challenge it. Because clearly, he just put the ball down on the turf.
Right.
He said, you can't challenge that because it's a judgment call by the official, and we are deeming him to have given himself up. So in other words,
but that's not the rule.
There is a rule that says if you give yourself up and drop to a knee and make no effort to advance, the play will be blown dead. You're falling on the sword. However, Tony Dungy on NBC, of all people, who doesn't really make strong comments like this, pointed said it was an awful, awful, awful call. He didn't give himself up, and if he did, it was for a split second. You can't make that judgment and that determination in the amount of time he was on the ground.
Right.
But they said he gave himself up. The Giants rushed to the line, snapped the next play. There had been some debate, but they called the next play, throw a touchdown, win the game.
Yeah.
And the league says it was properly officiated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals are infuriated. I can't even speak. That's a good sign for later time. And they won the game. I don't think he gave himself up. But that's by the letter of the law, that's the right call. I just don't think he was down to the ground long enough to do it.
Right.
My opinion only.
I think the reffing has been particularly spotty this season so far. There's been a lot of missed calls and overreaction and underreaction. Not a solid.
Is it different than usual?
I think that for the first 4 weeks that I've been watching, it seems like it's been particularly spotty, like just glaringly off somehow.
The most difficult calls to make are the roughing the passer calls.
Right.
And they want to protect the quarterbacks as well they should. And most of the officials will throw a flag if it looks excessively violent.
Close, yeah.
Even though when you slow it down and you break it down to matrix-like frame-by-frame analysis, well, that's not roughing the quarterback.
Right.
But they're going to throw the flag, but a lot of those 15-yard flags are game-changing moments. I think that's where people get the most frustrated. On the hitting of the quarterback.
And PI on both sides, too. The pass interference calls, I think, have been spotty. Not necessarily bad, but just inconsistent, maybe, is what I'm saying. It seems like there isn't really a consistent consensus amongst the crews to get out there about what's being called and what's not.
They're calling more offensive interference these days, too.
Yeah.
Which the DBs say is great, but at times it's just you and me fighting for the football. You say, well, let that go.
Right. Yeah, right.
But sometimes they're now calling offensive interference.
Yeah. All right, we're running late. Let me just ask one last question.
Yes.
Is Denver going to win the Super Bowl?
What happened now?
I have to pay $1,200 if Denver wins the Super Bowl. They're not going to win the Super Bowl, right?
I think you're safe.
How did that happen?
I think you're safe.
I lost a ticket. Don't worry about it. Just
Denver, you put a bet down for someone and then lost the ticket.
Yeah, I lost the ticket. Yeah. So I have to pay the long odds if they win.
Why don't you just burn your money?
No, it wasn't my money. It was a listener's money.
A listener who asked Kevin to bet it in Vegas.
$1,200?
No. Just tell me if they're going to lose. I just
they're not
going to
win the Super Bowl.
Somebody reassure me.
They're not going to win the Super Bowl.
I'll walk to Denver.
He'll ride his bike to Denver if that happens.
Kevin placed a bet for a listener, Andrew, and then lost the betting ticket. That's why he's on the hook for it if it ends up paying out.
So had that bet won, he would have had to pick
up. I'm good. Denver won't.
I'm good.
All right. I am very sad because I know we wanted to talk about the NBA because today's a big day in the lockout, but we don't have time.
What? The NBA season might be canceled. Probably not today. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay. And baseball playoffs will have to wait for another time. Andrew Siciliano is on the NFL Network Total Access Monday through Thursday at 4 and then Sundays on DirecTV Red Zone. He is the best human in the world, except for maybe Weird Al. Andrew, we'll do it again soon, my friend. Thanks for coming in. Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph is here for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on today?
Because it is Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office and Dolphin Tale. Once again, at the top of the box office, $14.2 million made it number one. Head of Moneyball and Lion King 3D. Those are the top three. Then 50-50 and Courageous rounding out the top five. Dream House, Abduction, What's Your Number, Contagion, and Killer Elite are the rest of the top 10 this weekend at the box office. Good news for Arrested Development fans. Creator Mitch Hurwitz told New Yorkers this week at the New Yorker Festival that he is working on one final season of the TV show, as well as the long-rumored and much-anticipated feature film version. He said that he was working on the screenplay, realized he had so much story to tell that he couldn't fit it all in one film, so he has decided to do a series, one last season of the series, and then he'll do the big movie. So
he should think of two seasons.
Think he can tie everyone up for that long, because you got a lot of people off now doing movies and other commitments and stuff, and I think they're going to have to film everything all at once. They'll do the series, I'm sure, and the film all at the same time, and we'll just see the end of the season, basically, I guess, on the big screen in a two-hour movie.
So exciting, by the way. I guess the series they're planning on airing next summer, and then the movie will come out in 2013, I guess, is what they're saying.
Gene Simmons got married this weekend to his longtime girlfriend, Shannon Tweed.
Liar!
No, they were really married at the Beverly Hills Hotel on Saturday night. They wrote their own vows. Gene's apparently had a lot of plugs for several websites during his vows. 400 of their closest friends came out to celebrate, including Hugh Hefner and Bill Maher.
Okay.
Two guys who will never be married. They were just pointing and laughing at Gene Simmons,
sucker,
as he said, I do. Their 19-year-old daughter Sophie was there. She was the maid of honor. Nick was also, of course, there, and I think footage from the wedding will be shown on their reality show, believe it or not.
Wow.
I think they're
going to
work that into the series.
Interesting that they would take a private moment like that and try to profit from it.
Gene Simmons' Family Jewel premieres tomorrow night, not with the footage from the wedding, but I'm sure later on in the season they'll have a very special episode, and we'll all get to see the glory and the majesty.
Liar!
I know that some are cynical with the way this romance has been handled the last season.
Liar!
Do you think they had a meeting where they said, all right, seriously, yes, we get married, ratings gold, and then we can divorce in the next season and we'll have all of that drama? That gives us another season of the show.
That's I don't know about the divorce, but I think they said, look, we're going to get married. How do we make it work? And they said, well, let's pretend like you guys are going to split up, and then we'll throw that bone out there, and then the result, the denouement of that will be marriage at the end of the next season.
Don't buy it.
You don't buy
it? I don't buy it. I think Gene Simmons is a smart enough businessman that at some point he goes, I don't know, if we get down the road a piece, we might need to get married. That might be the ratings boost we need. He's a
That's what I just said.
No, but I'm saying at
you said you
mainly
didn't buy it.
For TV.
Right.
Mainly for, not because of real life.
Right.
Okay, I misunderstood you. I thought you were saying they want to get married in real life and they're going to figure out a way to make it work.
No, I said to just get married for the show would be lackluster compared to throwing out there that they're splitting up.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And they're not going to be together anymore and she's walking out. I think the marriage led to all this playing up of the dissolution of their relationship and all that stuff beforehand. And then they had that entire season to play with, and now they've got the marriage episode in this season to lead up to. Mm. So they are well on their way. And while we're talking about marriages, Elizabeth Hurley is engaged again. Got married to Shane Warne.
Shane Warne.
We're not married to, but engaged to. Us Weekly Magazine said he got down on one knee during dinner last Saturday and popped the question. And she said, yes, he apparently is a world-renowned cricket player.
Cricket?
For reals?
Yes.
For reals?
No, I'm making
it. Why would he make that up?
I'm making up the hilarious cricket
why
player
do you say
joke.
That, Bean?
Well, because I've never heard of a world-renowned cricket player, and I thought maybe it was a Wacky Ralph joke.
Oh. Do you follow cricket closely?
No, I don't. But if somebody's world-renowned, then you've heard of them even if you don't follow cricket. I'm just saying I've just never heard of this dude. I was wondering if that was a real thing, that he's a famous cricket player, but that's hilarious.
Let's do some research. Get the team on that on floor
Monday.
Two.
Monday, and I'm exhausted already.
All I did was say for reals, by the way. It could have been yep, and we could have moved on.
Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy celebrates his 67th birthday today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac is 62. Tommy Lee of Motley Crue turns 49 years old.
It's today. Like, life is like a snare drum. Whack it.
That's true.
Clive Owen. Currently can be seen in Killer Elite. He's 47 years old. Gwen Stefani of No Doubt is 42. Nev Campbell's 38 years old. India Ari celebrates her 36th birthday today.
Ooh.
Sean William Scott is 35. Shannon Sossaman is 33 years old today. And Ashley Simpson is 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
This is the Kevin DeBean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. As you know, we're very excited this time of year because, you know, TV shows are coming back. Last night was Dexter. Tonight is House. The Walking Dead is coming back as well, one of my favorite series. Yeah. Sarah Wayne Callies will be in our studio tomorrow talking about The Walking Dead.
You want to talk to Robert Kingman, the guy who did the movie?
Nope.
No? You sure? All right, I thought you'd want to talk to him. Was, you enjoyed talking to him last time.
I don't remember talking to him last time.
I bet
really.
You don't.
Brian Deegan is on tomorrow morning's show, and would you vote for a fat president? Would America elect a fat guy as president?
Nope.
Yes.
I have no problem with voting for a fat guy,
Me
by the
too.
Way.
Then we can make fat jokes every single time something goes wrong.
They will never
Come
vote
on.
For a fat president or a bald president.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Those days are gone.
Come on!
We've had both. But, we've had both in the past.
Yeah, but way past.
Not in the telegenic world of politics
fatty,
that we live
fat,
in now.
Fatty.
No
do
fats,
that.
No balds.
But aren't most people running for president white men in their 60s?
Yes.
And aren't most white men in their 60s bald or close to it?
Yes.
It just seems like you're...
But they're not running for president.
You're going to run into somebody who may be follically challenged.
No.
But that doesn't mean he's not a good guy.
No.
Fat.
No fat, no okay. balls.
Yes, fat.
No fats, no balls.
I want to encourage people fat.
I'm telling you how the world works.
Well,
you're
not
listening.
All right.
But I mean, fat, at least it's his fault. Hair, if he loses his hair, it's not his fault. You can't hold that against him just because he's bald.
I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. I'm just telling you, no fats, no balds. That's the way it works.
Okay.
I'm not saying why people go bald or who should be bald or who shouldn't be bald.
You're just telling us.
Just telling you the way the world works.
I don't want to live in that America. I'm sorry.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Me.